The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, before you get into the show, which I know you're super excited to hear because every fucking show of Thinking Outside the Long Box is amazing, we want to thank our Patreon supporters, Chad, Ryan, Derek, Doyle, Devin, Taylor, Jason, Steve, and now Christine. Thank you so much for being a part of this show by donating to us on Patreon. If you too would like to support this show and keep it going every other week after every other week, then you can go to patreon.com/TOTLB where you can get your choice of all sorts of cool bonus videos and awesome prizes like hats and t-shirts, original sketches. I don't know if you guys follow Tim Husky's artwork on Instagram, but one of those original sketches got colored and it was fucking amazing. So join us today at patreon.com/TOTLB. And to those of you who are already subscribed, thank you so much. We appreciate you more than our own assholes.
From Juan's kitchen table where the Broncos are playing in the background, but we can't make it too loud so the NFL doesn't shut down this podcast. You're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box with Juan, Gabe, and Doyle.
Music, by the way, what the fuck?
So, Brandon got married and went on like a 2-week honeymoon, like all over the place.
Excuses,
and
I was messaging excuses. Him like crazy.
I was like, dude, you gonna get that music? He's all, I just got back into Oklahoma. I'm like, you fag. Like, you suck so bad.
Terrible excuse.
Now his fiance, who he's been married to for approximately 35 seconds, is pregnant. So,
gee, are you sure they weren't pregnant beforehand?
No, they definitely were, but. Yeah, I did that math.
We just got pregnant for 2 months.
He posted, will it be a boy or a girl? And I replied back, it'll be living in sin. You gotta laugh.
Poor little bastard.
Oh.
It's a girl, so what do they call lady bastards?
Bastards?
I'm pretty sure they're still Bastets. Bastards. I think that's a
please tell me we're recording
non-gender
this conversation.
We are.
Hi, Brandon.
Does hey, he listen?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
The pregnant lady won't let him listen. We're already, I don't even know her. We're already bashing on her.
She seems nice enough. I've never met her.
She is a heathen.
I thought you said she's a he at first.
No.
She's a heathen.
That's not what you said.
I said a heathen.
Oh, I thought you said she's a he. No. Yeah,
that's what I thought at first.
Like, she's a he. Strong the good men then. Of the Lord.
That's what I thought at first, too. And then I put it together a little bit more in my brain. But
oh, my God.
She's a heathen.
Yeah. Hey, everybody.
I assume Brandon was a good man of the Lord before her, but I don't know.
Welcome to episode 101 of Thinking Outside the Long
season
Box.
Two.
Yeah, season two. Oh, should we call it season two, episode one?
Yeah, I'm in.
All right, welcome to episode one of Thinking Outside the Long
episode
Box.
Episode one. That's going to confuse people.
I know. It's going to be amazing. I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
I'm Doyle.
And we're here to talk about Brandon living in sin.
Yes.
And Doyle getting into speed traps.
Yes.
Potentially shitting in bags while it's happening.
Definitely wasn't.
And then I got to put on a tight shirt later today, apparently.
This is true, which sounds amazing. Oh, man. How's you guys' couple weeks been?
Busy.
Yeah?
Yeah, very busy.
Kind of busy. Busy here, not at work.
Yeah?
No, not until yesterday.
Yeah. I thought it was funny.
My November was awful.
Everybody's like, what's going on for recording tomorrow? And like dead silence from you for like 12 hours.
I was so mad. I was with a customer for 6 hours.
Yeah,
no way. I texted you last night. I put it in the group text last night. It was late last night.
It was late, yeah.
I wasn't up at 4 in the morning.
It was just funny because
got it that later.
You and I had talked, and I knew that, you know, because I had some scheduling conflicts with roller derby and all that stuff. So you're like, well, you know, let's do it this, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, you should probably find out what's going on and let the guys know. And then, like, nothing.
I read that message this morning, but I was like, I said what's going on last night. Like, it's just above what the nonsense that Tim was talking about. But
that's
I was like,
why I missed it.
Also, we'll be here at 1 to 1:30. That's the plan. And then nobody said anything except for Tim's nonsense.
Midnight 32.
Was it 12:32? Oh,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I didn't get it
was today.
So technically it was this morning.
I didn't get it till like almost 4 in the morning, but that's when you sent it.
When you left work?
I think I must like went outside or something. Got better.
Oh, you don't have service in there?
It's spotty.
I love that Tim was like complaining about how busy he was at work, and Doyle's like, that is my life.
Yeah. I got Thanksgiving off, kind of. I had to go in and check stuff.
Tim gets to go home, though, I think, doesn't he? Like, do they work that many? I mean, Doyle works a lot. Yeah. Between all of us, Doyle works a fucking lot.
The most, yeah, by far. Dude, find a new job.
No. I'm looking.
You want to take, like, a $10 an hour pay cut and come work with me?
Maybe.
$10 an hour, I think it's going to be. What do you make? You make a good amount of money, don't you?
If you factor in the overtime, it's like 26 an hour, but it's technically 21 something.
Oh, so then it would be.
It'd be like less, a $9.
It would be less than $10 an hour, yeah, I think.
Be $8 or $9. That sounds awful. I did that. When I went from Medigold to like going to other stuff and working at the printing place and stuff, I took that $10 an hour hit. I was like, nope. I can't do it.
I'm ready to take like a, I'm ready to take a little bit of a hit to move somewhere else. I don't get paid per hour though.
Look that Alicia just gave you was unbelievably funny.
She knows.
If I could find something remotely close, like $5 less, I'd take it.
I'm looking at like thousands in the like the year cap. I think I could survive off of 50 grand, which seems like a lot probably to some people, but I could do it.
Like me. That's okay. When I was working at Medical,
like
that's what I was doing.
After taxes or 50 before?
I think 50 before we could probably do. I think
50 before is like 35-ish.
So we would make, what do you make? What do you make, like 30? So we'd make like 60 grand a year.
30 after taxes? Oh, Jesus Christ.
I work 6 months a year.
Yeah. Okay, she works every other week. You work a lot. I've never seen a... JBS is like the weirdest place in the world to me.
Oh, yeah.
There's people who have been there for fucking 20 years who are making $15 an hour. And I just, okay, I'm like, it, what the weird. Fuck? Like, go ask for a raise or something.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
I would not be okay with that. I mean, I run the department I started in inside of 3 years, so.
But I think at least a lot of the people who come to buy cars from us are, I don't know what the structure is, how you move up in JBS, but I think a lot of the people who work there who come to buy cars are immigrants. Maybe they don't speak very good English, you know, that kind of, I don't know how, yeah, like, run a department, I don't know how, what the communication level has to be.
People that are just super complacent.
Probably.
They just show up and they're like, no, I don't want to learn how to do new things. I don't want to do anything else. I put my arm in the bunghole. I put the bunghole out. I cut it. I'm a bunghole cutter. It's a good job.
Oh, man.
And the weirdest shit thing is right now, we're running 6 days a week fabrication. We're not selling any of it. And they just won't stop buying and killing new cows. Last time I checked, our racks were like 30,000 boxes of unallocated product. Does not go into a customer.
Wow. It's a lot of beef.
Yeah.
Does that mean they'll sell it to me for cheap?
No, it means they'll sell it to Millard for cheap. Millard will turn it into whatever Millard does.
Hot dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. Grind it up.
Cows must cost like 85 cents right now. I don't know.
Like just the whole cow.
They just don't care.
Hey, buy that cow. It's less than a dollar.
Yeah. Fuck, we need all of them. Buy the farm.
Yeah. So first things first, I want to give a little bit of a shout out to Dominic Pacheco for making me feel like an ass. With his picture of the Avengers 4 trailer with the little play symbol on it. And then I clicked it, and it went to a picture. I was like, oh, that's weird that he screencapped a picture of it. So I went to YouTube and looked for the Avengers 4 trailer, and it does not exist yet. And I was watching one. I was like, oh, hey, Juan, check this out. And Juan's like, that's fake. Because that's scenes from other movies.
Yeah. And he's like, but Dom posted. I was like, yeah, that was fake, too.
Dom's an ass. You're an ass, Dom. I love you.
He had a birthday, too.
Yeah, it was his birthday.
They didn't post about it and had all friends over and didn't invite any of us, too.
Well, I mean,
oh, they don't invite us to those things,
piece
bro.
Of shit.
It's because they know that we won't come.
It's true. We wouldn't have come at all.
You're working.
To be fair, I like to be invited still
yeah,
to
me
things.
Too.
I mean,
I'd have sent you something. Shit in the bag. I don't know, something.
I'm glad that you're finally owning that.
Yeah. It happened, I guess.
I guess. No, it happened. No, it happened. Not I guess. I was there. That shit happened.
Oh, man.
Literally.
Oh, man.
Sorry, I'm trying to get this episode out, too. No, not this episode. Not the episode, the interview.
So let's talk about that a little bit. We're doing, I guess, like a little bit of a format change. To keep the length of our shows
at 3 hours.
At 3 hours.
Reasonable.
Reasonable 3 hours as opposed to like the 4.5 to 5 hour episodes. Juan is going to be releasing more and more of the interviews that we do as kind of like single episodes. Right. So Stand you will have already seen the interview with Paul from Legion M, which was really pretty cool to do. Like
he could talk.
He could. Was nice to be able to say, hey, tell me about this. And he just went on. You know, I like interviews like that because it means that he's passionate about it. He's excited about it. It was cool to talk to him about the production of Mandy, which is friggin' awesome that they put that together. I had no idea that...
When did we release this?
What's that?
When did we release this?
Well, today.
This is 2 weeks from today.
This is
yeah.
2 weeks from today.
What the fuck's going on?
I haven't heard this yet.
When will then be now? Yeah. Doyle.
Oh, Doyle.
The magic of podcasting.
Yeah, I heard it a long time ago.
He's just elbow deep in bungholes. He don't know what's going on right now.
I'm a bunghole cutter.
Yeah. I'm not a bunghole cutter.
I cut the bungholes.
I love the concept. So last year. No.
I mean, I guess they have to exist.
Legion M.
Not bunghole cutting. That's nasty.
He said they started about 2.5 years ago. Yeah. I heard it about it more before last year's San Diego Comic-Con because we're on the list now where we just get, especially around that time, we get bombarded with emails. And so Legion M was one of them, but I didn't really look into it all that much because it was our first year. We were so inundated with trying to get everything else going. And so I didn't really pay a ton of attention to it, to be totally honest. But then we started talking about Colossal, and we started talking, Mandy just came out and shit like that. And they sent us another press release saying that their fourth round of investing has been the most profitable so far. And so I started looking into it and come to realize that they've helped put these, they've invested in these movies, and they're helping with different scripts, and they've got stuff going on with Stan Lee and, you know, before he passed away, and Kevin Smith, and they have a bunch of other things going on that are fucking cool, and you get a chance to buy into the company. You get real shares, and that's kind of he explained it in the interview that they listened to, that it's not really crowdfunding, but it kind of is. Yeah. But you get more because
they call it equity crowdfunding,
right? Because we've crowdfunded before. I mean, I'm sure all three of us have bought into something, and you get a t-shirt or you get a cool hat or get the book or whatever. But this is cool because you get to the money you invest gets to grow with the company, and you get to see technically what the small part of what you own in the company on the screen.
And the idea that you, like, because you've invested, you're also more invested in going to the movie theater to see that movie, because your $7 is an additional investment in your own project. You know, you're paying for the ticket, and it helps fund the dividends back to you. Like, it's kind of it's a really cool idea. I know I never it's funny because the way they advertise on Facebook makes them look like a multi-level marketing scheme. And so I had never like really looked too closely.
If you get
into
your
it.
Friend involved.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's kind of how it feels, because it's like all of us together can raise all this money to make movies. And it felt very much so if I con my friends into doing it. But then as I started reading the stuff that they were sending over and talking to him, like, it's not that at all. And that was really cool. It made me a lot more interested.
It's cool.
Their
new
project, that Girl with No Name, looks cool as shit. Like, I'm a fan of the kind of stuff they're backing so far.
That sounds cool. I'll have to check it out.
It's fun. It's cool because if you're gonna throw, he said the average investment so far has been $500. The minimum is $100. I think that equates to about 11 shares in the company. So if you're gonna throw $100 or $500 into something, you're probably gonna be a little invested. And I mean, it takes $7. If you get 1 million people to invest, that's their goal. 1 million people. Imagine having 1 million tickets already sold to something. Right, you know what I mean?
All those people are I'm going to go to this.
That's crazy. That's crazy. And the word of mouth on something like that, where you can have 1 million soldiers at your ready to talk about something and to do something, it's crazy. It's amazing. Yeah.
It's a really interesting way of funding stuff. Like, and it was funny, kind of off camera, as it were, when I was done interviewing him, I was like, man, I got this idea. What if you did this for like a music company or like, you know, wrestling? And he's like, oh, there's already a wrestling one. There's already a music, you know, we're working on music. It's like, oh, okay. Like that's cool that idea exists out there. So
what notable things have they done already? Or have they done anything notable yet?
The biggest things are Colossal and Mandy.
Samaritan with David Tennant. Which I think it comes out soon,
too. I don't think it's out yet. And then they did this VR experience with Kevin Smith interviewing Stan Lee. Is basically like one-on-one. Like you're having a conversation with Stan Lee, which I think will be really interesting in the future when VR technology is more prevalent, that you could basically have this experience with somebody that's gone now, you know. So it's an interesting thing. So.
And he said they're going to Sundance with the intention of buying a movie there. And with the
help of the people that have invested. So once you've put in your investment, you're part of their group. They have a place at Sundance that's like a lounge that you can go out, have drinks, have food, then go out to the movies at Sundance and come back to Legion M and be like, you guys should look at this movie. This should be the thing that you want to pick up.
So. They did, I guess, Elijah Wood has a company, a movie company as well, that he put him into contact or they're a part of Mandy as well. I can't remember from the interview, but I guess he kind of helped them get their foot in the door for Mandy, which was pretty cool. I mean, they're pretty out there movies right now, but I haven't seen Mandy yet, so I can't speak to Mandy yet. But Colossal's beautiful. It's a really good looking movie, and it's about some crazy shit. It's about abuse and it's really movies. On a deeper level, more than just being about kaiju, which is cool. It's a deeper movie. It's pretty cool.
I think he said it best when he called them elevated genre films.
Right.
Because they are. They're both like kind of horror movies, but they're both like horror movies done in a very different way and like in a very unique and original way that makes them fresh and interesting. Like, I'm surprised Colossal didn't get more interest in like the horror community, but as a critical success, it was really well received.
It's Colossal, like the one where the chick and the guy, whenever they like moved the monster, too. I think because it didn't come across as a horror movie on like the
right, like when because you watched it's different. Video, it's like a weird romantic comedy, serious drama slash. Kaiju movie.
It's a funky movie, but I enjoyed the hell out of it. I thought it was really cool.
I've had it on my to-watch list forever. I just haven't watched it. I'll have to check it out.
Speaking of which, anybody, what kind of stuff did we watch and read and whatever over the last 2 weeks? I got a list, like always.
Go on your list.
I got notes. So, caught up on like the last 26, 28 issues of Saga.
Jesus.
That's depressing as hell. And then they took like
is it over?
No.
Oh, okay.
So they are taking like a year-long break. And it ends on like a very down, like, holy crap, major character death note that I don't want to spoil for people that haven't read, but man, that was something.
I haven't read any Saga. It's one I collect, but I don't read or haven't.
It takes a weird turn.
It did. It took like a super sharp left, hardcore turn. Where I was
like, it was driving down the highway, and then it just slowed down and shit in a bag. But it's enjoyable the whole way.
Oh man,
it was an enjoyable shit.
It's still an enjoyable book though.
Read a couple of
28. How fucking long did that take? 2 weeks?
No, it took
How long do you read one? How long does it take you to read one book?
Like 10 to 15 minutes.
All right.
Yeah, like it took me a couple days, but I would like sit down, read like 5 or 6 of them. And then,
right.
You know, find some more time. Read a couple of kind of like more graphic novels. They're not like trade collections, but like kind of standalone graphic novels.
I didn't think I was recording there for a second. I am, though.
I had that moment pretty much every time I interview by myself. I read one called The Property. It's really cool. It's about this lady. She's coming back to Poland in her 80s to inspect a property that she believes she owns or like has partial ownership of. And what had happened is when she was younger, her parents had owned the property. She had been dating she's Jewish.
Right.
She had been dating a non-Jewish Polish guy, and she got pregnant. And so her parents sent her to Israel because it was, like, this big shameful thing.
Yeah.
You know? But when she left, it was, like, right on the cusp of World War II. So World War II breaks out. And her parents deed the apartment over to her boyfriend because otherwise they're going to lose the apartment
right.
because they're Jews. And so she has come back and he still lives there. And they kind of like have this moment of like reconnection. And it's just like a really cool, like, you know, return to home after traumatic past kind of story that's intertwined with the grandma's granddaughter is there helping her, and her uncle is trying to like weasel his way into the property, and at one point he thinks that it's like gonna be the Hilton and he's in the money and like all this other stuff. Just a really cool, like, kind of quiet family drama comic. I don't know, it was really
it's a comic.
Yeah, it's a comic
book. I thought it was a movie.
No, it's a comic book called The Property. It was really good. The other one I watched was called Motherless Oven, or read. Now you got me all fucked up. and it's about this crazy world where people build their parents, their parents are robots and they build them. And, this one kid, they know what day they're going to die. And this one kid knows that he's going to die in, like, 4 days. Yeah. So he goes on an adventure to find the factory where they build their parents at. I don't know. It's just, like, a crazy weird book.
How do they come into existence if they
build
their
really
parents?
Sure. Like, that's the thing. There's a sequel to it that I haven't had a chance to read
chicken
yet.
Chicken egg thing.
But it's pretty fascinating. The art was really cool. Like, the story was just obscure and like a little hard
Sounds
to follow
weird.
But it was good. I enjoyed it. So
have you seen the preview for that new Keanu Reeves movie?
Yeah.
Commando?
Where Keanu, his family dies and then he turns them, like, he like clones them all.
Oh yeah, I did see the trailer
Replicant
for that.
Replicant or something?
Yeah.
It actually looks pretty
good. Looks pretty good.
That sounds like a lawsuit.
Sounds like a creepy guy, but
it's funny when they show in the trailer, they show him bring the heads up display and he's messing around with the brain on like the computer thing. And all I could think to myself was, that's kind of what it would have looked like in Johnny Mnemonic too. Like that particular version of special effects has
Which,
not
by the way,
come that far.
It's just not even more practical.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever had one of those like floating keyboards?
No. Oh, the ones,
like
the laser
keyboards?
Ones? Yeah, they
and
suck.
And you type? Yeah, you know how tired you get trying to type in midair for like 2 hours? Actually physically resting your hands on things is way more convenient than doing this shit. Playing like space skee-ball with
For our listeners,
images.
He's just wildly gesticulating with his hands.
Gesticulating?
It boggles my mind that they keep going to that as a future concept. It's like, that's not...
It's
going to
happen because everybody thinks it looks cool.
I mean, looks cool or not, that doesn't make sense.
Dude, neither does a Ferrari.
Yeah, I guess.
Like,
if you want to go fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't, like, go to the grocery store in it.
Like, I could see, like, a giant, like...
I can't.
Touch
Somebody
screen
can.
In front of you. that makes sense to me. You're still physically manipulating something, but
yeah,
the whole just like there's a thing here and I'm just moving shit around.
I just like when I
Minority Report abused it the worst. But.
Like when I think about resizing a picture with my mouse and yep. trying to get it to like an exact pixel ratio and like the minuscule amount of movement where it goes from like 200 yep. to 205, and I really just want it to be at 202, and I barely move the mouse and it goes to 205 or 212.
Yeah.
Thinking about those kind of minuscule movements inside of a free-flowing, some kind of holographic computer thing, I guarantee would be the most frustrating shit yeah. on the face of the earth. Like,
considering that,
I just want it to move a tiny bit. No, too much. No, too far back. No, too much again. And if it's a laser surgery at some point, you're like just hollowing out somebody's brain.
That sounds awesome.
I do love it, Minority Report, too, where they're... They're physically manipulating space in
you
front of
you heard it here
them.
First. He loves a minority.
I do. At least when they report
Did
on them.
Did he just say you? Wow.
But when he takes all the information and stores it in like that future USB drive and then unplugs it and then plugs it into another screen like 6 inches away from the fancy manipulating screen that he's working somehow, I was like, they don't got internets in the future, but they got, they got fancy screens. You can't
just hop it from screen to screen
like we can right now on desktop computers.
With a mouse.
Yeah.
It's a step back.
Tom Cruise and Canada need to get together and come up with a better future tech. Mission impossible.
Read Jughead the Hunger, the one shot where Jughead's a werewolf.
It's not a. I don't think it's a one shot.
It's not.
It's not a one. I think it's a series.
The comic says one shot. Maybe it was intended to be a one shot, and then it was just maybe. Popular enough
I think that's
they kept
exactly
going
what
with
happened.
It. But
it's good. I enjoyed the
I
fuck out
the
of it.
I love the crap out of it.
I love anything horror Archie. So.
It's fun. Like it's always fun.
Super specific genre.
Well, I'm not a big fan of Archie by himself, but I like Afterlife. I like all the werewolf shit.
I don't like horror, and I don't like Archie.
No,
I
love
horror. Archie.
I love horror.
No, me too.
Or action Archie. Too. Or sci-fi action Archie.
Archie Sharknado, I think, was one.
Predator. Archie versus Predator.
Yeah, that was cool.
Dude, it's gross. It is, like, so violent, and it made me laugh so hard. You know what they need to do is Archie versus the Evil Dead. That would be a fun crossover.
That would be pretty cool.
Walking Dead.
Nah.
It's too expensive.
Archie versus Negan.
You sure do say fuck a lot, Mr. Negan.
Archie and the Whisper Wars.
This is Archie wearing Veronica's face.
Oh. That would be amazing.
Yeah. At first you were like, that's nasty. And yeah. Then you were like, that is awesome.
Speaking of whispers, they're here. And they it's fucking here. Cool as shit.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. I mean,
I didn't expect that jump.
Yeah,
when it happened when it was like can't let them escape. Like, oh, no shit. It's like this is either whispers or they took this a really different way.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Oh, you're fine.
Jesus dies.
Yeah, I did read about that.
Yeah.
That was a fresh one. I thought you were gonna go with the whispers are here. Spoiler alert.
No. Yeah, it's all like 4 weeks away at this point because it happened. I think it happened through 3 weeks.
People don't worry. Pretty but, upset about the Jesus thing.
Come
yeah,
back.
But he wasn't upset. So I read a lot of articles saying right. that he
He's
was like
cool,
well, I don't care, whatever. Yeah, because yeah. he wasn't. They weren't doing anything with his character. They were is what his biggest complaint was. He didn't get to do anything cool that he thought he was apparently learning like all the karate and shit behind the scenes, and he never got to use it. So he was like, all right, cool, I'm dead.
They'll bring him back in a couple weeks.
In a flash
rise again.
To eat somebody's face.
It
Jesus
was cool.
Back.
In 3 days.
The new person who's kind of running this show, because Gimple runs everything now. He kind of oversees everything, and he's helping organize the movies. So this I forget her name, but she's the main person behind The Walking Dead now. The episodes themselves feel different. Like, visually, this last one was really dark. It was foggy. It was kind of like almost like a horror movie. They ended up in a cemetery and shit. Like, it was really cool. It was visually, it was pretty different from what it's been.
They're doing some weird shit, but
yeah. And the thing he's talking about where Jesus is killing, you know, walkers left and right, and he's doing ninja shit, and then all of a sudden he goes to swipe at one, and the walker ducks and fucking grabs him by the neck and whack, and he stabs him, and then he tells him, "You don't belong here." It's creepy. It's like you don't expect, you just think everything's dead around you, so you don't expect a walker to start moving and doing shit. It's cool. I enjoyed it.
Like, I mean, that's how the whispers are in the comic too, is they surprise you because they're in with them, yeah. And then all of a sudden they're fucking killing machines with their knives, and then they just blend right back into the herd. Like, and that's creepy as shit.
Because the whole episode, they're trying to divert what they think is just a normal herd, but all of their things that they try don't work, and the herd just seems to be following them. So it's pretty creepy, I guess, is the good word for it.
Yeah. I like the way they're going. The first episode of this season was whack as shit, I think, but it's recovered after that.
That was the one that...
Did you see where they just did the cinema all different and the fight scenes all different? Mm-hmm. It just looked fucking retarded.
Abraham directed that one. I can't remember what his real name is.
Sorry, Abraham, your camera work is spotty, sir.
So you said something that I had not heard about. The movies? They're making movies?
Oh, that's yes.
That's why they took Rick out.
Yeah.
Rick's dead. He's going to make movies now.
So at the end of that episode where they're like, is he going to die? What's going to happen? This is his last, you know, show, his last episode in the show, because they said he's not coming back ever to the show. You think he dies in an explosion, and then everybody cries and they kind of go on with their life. But at the end, Jada saves him, and they finally utilize, which you still don't know why, utilize the helicopter that they've been teasing for fucking ever. And then they go off somewhere. And that's kind of, I guess, the three movies are going to follow that. So I don't know. It must be easier. So he had said that he didn't want to do it anymore because, his family, he's got a little daughter and he's away from his family a lot. And I'm assuming movies are easier to film, or they're faster to film or some shit.
You're making a movie, you're making 2 hours, 2.5 hours of content. You make a TV show, you're making how many episodes are in a season? Like 20,
I think, yeah.
So you're making like 22 to 23 hours of content. So,
but yeah, it's different. We'll see. Ratings are low, yeah, but still high. That's the thing, is they're low for how popular the show has been, but they're very good ratings still.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see what happens.
It'll be interesting. Like, I genuinely haven't watched it for like a season or two. It's one of those shows that I've just kind of fallen off of.
I liked it. I enjoyed it.
Get back up.
This season was good. So I think Fear the Walking Dead's last season is still the best season of Walking Dead, period, in my opinion. But
nice.
They brought in a lot of weird people who I didn't think were like Dharma from Dharma and Greggo's. Like, how the fuck is she? Like, I can't. She's an actress, so it's stupid of me not to think that she can't just fill herself in somewhere else. But it's weird because I've only seen her in really odd movies, or really odd TV shows. But she's really good in the show. All the new characters, in my opinion, have been really good additions.
Yeah. I genuinely haven't thought of the show Dharma and Greg for probably 15 years.
Yeah. That's why I crossed my mind for something.
I used to watch it all the time. I just haven't thought of it since it went off the air. Read God Country. That is an excellent comic book. If you haven't read it, it's basically this older guy has Alzheimer's. His son and daughter and granddaughter live in the house with him. He's like super verbally abusive towards them because he has Alzheimer's. He doesn't know what's going on. And one day a giant magic sword falls out of the sky. And when he picks it up, his Alzheimer's goes away because the sword is the god of swords. And like these other extra planar gods want their sword back. And he just whips their ass with the giant sword. But it's this really cool kind of... story about how the person inside of you is the important person, and maybe once you get to the end of your life, letting go of life is okay to do when you're in a bad spot. And it's
as long as the god of swords falls from the sky and gives her Alzheimer's. No, I'm just joking.
He has this moment, towards the very end where basically he gets to choose, you know, do I go back to having Alzheimer's and not knowing my family, or do I just die? And he chooses just die, you know, because sometimes it's just easier to let go. It's easier for your family.
Right.
And
It's Alzheimer's just is probably the scariest old people thing. Oh,
dude. I'm terrified of that particular
I think I'd
disease.
Rather be diapered up than Alzheimer's, though.
Absolutely. Dude, I would
rather... If I'm Gabe's kid, I don't want him to be diapered up.
Why you keep eating tacos? You know I gotta change your shitty diapers.
I'd rather you not remember I think.
But I love tacos, Ashton. He's the only one that'll help.
Yeah, Bailey's gone. Yeah. She's somewhere else.
She's like, screw you guys. It's disgusting. No, it's just, it was a really cool, like, kind of meditation on old age through the story, you know, through the art of comic books. Like,
so it's like a one-shot thing, too, I assume?
I think it's like, it was six issues, and I don't think there's going to be a second volume. Sure. Like, it's just kind of its own standalone thing. But the two guys that did it, whose names I don't have written down, so I don't remember them.
It's a real credit.
It's on Image. It's called God Country. People can find it. They had a letter in the back of issue 6. It was kind of like, you know, thanks for all your support. Look forward to a couple new projects from us. So I think that was kind of the end for them, but they're moving on to do other stuff.
Donnie Cates is the writer.
Yes.
And there's three artists: Jeff Shaw, John J. Hill, and Jason Wardy.
Nice.
Wardy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Me neither. I just think it sounds better that way.
Excellent Googling online.
Yeah. Get some.
Good job.
Sure, laptops.
I would do it on my phone, but I don't want to.
Yeah, I'm lazy.
I got you. Don't worry about it. I got you.
I'm super behind the times and just watched Don't Make a Sound, but that movie's fucking awesome.
What's that? What movie?
Don't Make a Sound. Don't Make a Sound.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
The one with the guy from The Office.
Super behind the times, yeah.
Where they can't be
the monster
quiet.
Thingies?
Yeah.
Where they have to not talk?
Alien monsters. And you can talk, but you can't make loud
is that
noises.
What it's called?
Make a Sound or Don't Make a Noise, maybe.
I thought it was like Quiet something or something.
Quiet
so
place?
Did I, but it's not that.
It's called A Quiet Place.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think Don't Make a Sound is a horror movie.
You got the Google.
That's
up
true. That's
right
true.
Now.
You're right.
We established that literally seconds ago.
It's A Quiet Place.
It is a quiet place. I'm just making a movie.
With John Krasinski.
Look up Don't Make a Sound.
That's
Let's
what I'm
what
doing. Yeah,
that,
yeah. That sounds like a horror movie. Don't Make a Sound.
Well, either way, you're going to be scared.
Be scared. There's nothing. Call.
Be
well,
awesome.
2018. Don't Make a Sound. Here, let's see what that is.
It's probably just the
directed
same
by Isaac Obi-Wan. Stars Danny Murphy, Kelly Murphy, Eric Przedavskis.
Not the movie I was talking about.
5,000 euro budget.
Yes. Oh my! So like 10 grand.
So I was reading about
definitely
it.
Not definitely not.
Definitely
doesn't start Krasinski.
We don't suggest Don't Make a Sound.
I don't know nothing about that.
We suggest you find it because they're independent
filmmakers.
We suggest
you make your own decision.
And it's probably terrible.
But we did not say it was
But you'll probably have fun watching it. Oh my God, I hope they don't hear this.
But it could be great.
I haven't watched the movie, honestly.
A Quiet Place.
A Quiet Place. I haven't seen it.
Oh, you should.
Because I don't know that I
was reading into it.
I don't know
it,
how much they talk, so I don't know that I can keep my attention.
So the daughter knows.
Problem.
Well, the daughter knows sign language, so they all know
so
sign
they speak
language.
Right. Sign language quite a bit.
But they do actually talk quite a bit.
So here's the deal. If you are going to watch it, watch it after the kids go to bed for like a date night movie or something. It's not that
she won't watch anything scary. So I gotta watch it when all of my kids go to bed.
So I didn't think it was scary.
So
at all,
Mel doesn't like scary movies very much, and she enjoyed it because it's more of a suspense and family drama movie than like a straight up horror movie. Like there's a couple moments of horror, but for the most part, it's just interesting.
It's like
and
a
fun
daughter connecting with her dad. When she thinks she's done something like too terrible.
To be forgiven.
Mm. Yeah. And then there's aliens that kill you if you make too much noise.
Right. Which is.
And then there's aliens.
It's pretty crazy interesting. Like it's.
I was reading about it. Supposedly it started out as part of the Cloverfield family.
Yes.
And then left that.
Like Overlord. I haven't watched that one either, but it looks good.
Yeah. Is that even out yet?
Yeah, it is. It's been out for a few weeks now.
It kind of came quietly because it's in the middle of a...
I like to do that myself.
It was all...
Spadoosh.
It's because it's in the middle of like the big movie season, yeah. The holiday movie season.
Yeah, that was supposed to be a Cloverfield movie, but
what's that?
I've not gone to movies for quite a while.
We went to go see Grinch in the movie theater.
Oh, how was that?
It was good. I mean, it's a pretty close adaptation of the original Okay. So it's actually a pretty close to the. Yeah, but I think it's pretty close to the original cartoon. The original, I don't know if that was, they called the, that was considered a cartoon movie or what the fuck it was considered at the time. Yeah, but
it was a cartoon.
It's pretty close to that one. So it's pretty good.
Movie.
I like Cumberbatch. He makes a good Grinch. And I like to support the guy whose name I can't remember now from Smodcast because he helped, he directed it.
Scott Mosier.
Scott Mosier, there you go. There you go.
The Smodcast.
Yeah, there you go. Mosier. Yeah, but he helped. That was the, so there was a whole time in Smodcast where he went away for like a year, but they wouldn't tell anybody why.
Right.
And he so was that was kind of the fruits of that labor. Yeah. So it's cool. I like their shit, so I'm okay supporting that nice. Movie. It was a good movie. If you, it wasn't the goofy, over-the-top fucking Jim Carrey shit that happened, so
right.
I was a fan. Not See, a big fan of the Jim Carrey one.
Work every single day, so all the days blend together, so time is mostly not real. So just in my head the other day, I was like, I still got to see Predator. And then I like clicked on Amazon Prime, and I was like, I can buy Predator right now. I was like, that's not in the movie theaters anymore.
Yeah, that probably didn't stay in the movie theaters for very long, if I remember.
I don't care. I'm still going to watch
it. I saw Dom talk about it because he was watching it, and then a bunch of people shitting on it. I was like, man, I really actually enjoyed
that
movie.
Out of that movie.
I thought it was good.
People just want to take Predator too seriously.
That's exactly what I was going
to
say.
It was not a serious movie to begin with.
Yeah, dude, they're all, if you like dark comedies, I was like, yeah, I do like dark comedies.
Very much. Who doesn't? What kind of asshole doesn't like a dark comedy?
Somebody gets called a slack-jawed faggot in the first movie. Like, that movie was not meant to be 100% serious.
Dude, it literally stars Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. No Arnold Schwarzenegger movie is supposed to be serious.
Yeah. A guy,
every stereotype in that first movie too.
Oh, dude, the Native American guy, the black guy, the Austrian, the assassin.
Super big wrestler, dude.
Oh, dude,
I thought it was cool. I would watch it again. I thought it was fun.
I'm gonna watch it. I just like that's how my brain works. I was like, I think Predator's in the theater. Predator that could be bought today.
The fuck. It's in the cheap theater. Do they even have a cheap theater now, actually?
There's one. There's two in Denver, one in Fort Collins.
I used to love it when we had the $2 theater right next to my house.
I used to live like a block away for a while.
You still live like a few blocks away. Yeah. From where it was.
It moved.
Yeah, it's gone now.
That's an auto parts store.
I remember they had twins there one summer.
Twins.
For like
God,
ever.
You're old.
And I freaking watched. I genuinely walked to the movie theater and watched Twins like at least 23 times. Yeah. And that movie is not good enough.
I did the same thing with Independence Day. I think I watched Independence Day every day after school for a straight 6 months, dude. I was time to watch Will Smith whip some ass again.
They had Independence Day.
I love
Day
that movie, though, so.
They had Independence Day and Die Hard 3 there forever.
Is that with the vengeance?
That's my favorite Die Hard. I remember.
What's that?
They had cheap concessions, too. I remember.
Yeah.
It was all the off-brand shit.
Well, yeah, and you could go, and 7-Eleven was right there, too.
Yeah.
So you could just go to 7-Eleven and, like, cram your pockets with things that you obtained for free from 7-Eleven. Yeah.
People working at the budget movie theater don't give a fuck either. You walk in with, like, a double big gulp, they're like, whatever.
You're paying a dollar to get in here anyway. I remember when it doubled in price. It went from $1 to $2. I was like, $2?
What the hell?
It was about your goddamn mind. $2 to you. It was always $2 in my memory, so.
Yeah.
Die Hard 3. That was my favorite Die Hard.
It's one of my favorites.
That's my favorite.
First one and the third one are my favorites.
What are there, like five or six now?
I think there's six now.
What's the fucked you at the drive-in? Is that four?
The which one? What'd you say?
Oh, I'm thinking of a totally different.
I don't even know what you just said.
I'm thinking a lethal weapon.
They fuck you in the
wrong black guy.
Drive through.
Wrong black guy. Yeah.
Wrong buddy.
It's Danny.
Movie.
That's Danny Glover. Not Samuel Jackson.
Why do you keep calling me Jesus?
Jesus. Then shove a lightning bolt up your ass.
Fucking love that movie.
So. Pamela Ribbon. We've had her on the show.
Yes.
She did Slam.
It's Ribbon.
It's Ribbon. So I went to see the fruits of her labor this week. Went and watched, or I guess in the last couple of weeks, we went and watched Wreck-It Ralph 2
with Hannah. Right.
She's one of the screenwriters on
that's
there.
That's right.
We talked about it a little bit in our interview when we talked with her about Slam, but that was super fun. And it was kind of cool to see the kind of feminist, strong woman overtones that she brings to Slam in Wreck-It Ralph 2. And it was a really, really... sweet movie, obviously, because it's a little kids movie and they are all pretty sweet in the end. But the story that it's telling is that your dream is an okay dream to have. You know, the thing that you enjoy, that you want to be, you don't have to fit into the princess thing.
Right.
And so it tells like this Disney princess story using the little girl from the first movie. And it has this amazing princess song scene, because at like one point she ends up in a room with all of the Disney princesses and they're like, she's like, you know, I just don't know what my dream is. And Ariel's like, sing a song about it. She's like, what do you mean sing a song about it? She's all, how do you sing a song about your dream? She's all, well, first you look into a pool of water, like, and like go through like all these like ridiculous like princess tropes of how to sing the song. But she ends up like later in the movie, she ends up looking in like a pool of like a puddle on the ground in this like effectively Grand Theft Auto ripoff called right. Slaughter Race. And she sings about how Slaughter Race is her dream while things are blowing up behind her and stuff. And it's just, it's self-referential enough that a lot of the adults in the crowd get a chuckle out of
right.
it. But it's also like cute and heartwarming enough that Hannah loved it.
Nice.
You know, and it was just a ton of fun. The way they goof on the internet and the way the internet works and how to get popular on the internet and those sorts of things. It's funny. They're trying to buy a steering wheel for her console at the arcade because it broke. And at one point they go on eBay and everybody, like, did you ever have a Nintendo Wii?
I have one hooked up right now.
So you know the little icons that you make that are of yourself?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody on the internet's persona looks kind of like one of those. It's like a little box head, and it travels from place to place effectively in a little taxi cab, and that's you moving from website to website. So Ralph and the little girl are on eBay trying to buy this steering wheel, and the steering wheel is going for like, you know, $75 or something like that. And he goes, well, how do we play this game? She's like, I think we just say a bigger number than him. And, you know, it's at 75. She's all 76. And he goes, 77, 78. And Ralph goes, watch this, 10,000. And you see the little icon's eyes go boop. And, like, then she goes, 10,001. And they start bidding against each other. And then, you know, they win the auction and they go to check out. And the lady's like, how would you like to pay for this? He's like, what do you mean? Like, they just have no concept of like what money is. And
what?
It was really, there's the way they goof on how the internet works is really smart and really, really
nice.
Funny. Like, it was definitely. Honestly, even if you're an adult, it's worth watching because it's just it's silly and it's fun. So,
side note, that is from episode 91. You can hear the Pamela Rubin interview.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, she was awesome to talk to at Denver Comic-Con.
It's the first interview in that episode.
Nice. What's cool about her too is how open she is about talking about all of the stuff that she works on, you know, movies and comic books and all sorts of stuff. She's a very active and interesting person. So
that's our Run DMC episode.
Run DMC. We interviewed DMC from Run DMC.
That's what I'm saying. That's because our DMC interview. Wow. Yeah. All right.
It's not as big time as our RZA.
We
should have got that interview. Bastard.
Except for Juan kept calling him on the phone going, yeah, we'd love to talk to
RZA. Yeah, we need RZA on the phone right now.
Right meow.
Right meow.
Did you say meow?
You're not going to watch this because you're stupid and I hate you, but the crossover Elseworlds Batgirl is happening here in the next week, I think, December 9th.
I saw the pictures.
And I'm fucking excited.
Has Batgirl even happened yet?
No, Batgirl is going to happen there first in the crossover.
Whose world is she crossing
into? Batwoman. I'm sorry, not Batgirl. Batwoman. I'm sorry, that's my fault.
Well, it's like she's starting out in the Flash?
Yeah, but I don't know that that's true. So the synopsis is that somebody's come.
Bats don't belong to Flash's city.
Somebody's come to Flash's Earth and they've rewritten time or something, so it's different. So I don't know in what Earth they're going to be, but Batwoman is in Gotham. They have to go to Gotham to do something. But they've been name dropping Gotham this whole season in both shows at this point. But that happens in a week, and it's I'm always excited for this one. The last one, half of. Oh, fuck. No. The Legends of Tomorrow, the two guys, Firestorm. Half of Firestorm died, and that was fucking heartbreaking to watch. The old man, I can't remember his name, but that was kind of the end of the crossover, and it was really sad. But they've, since the first one, so this will be the third one. The first one was kind of, it was kind of weird because the story had four different parts to it. It didn't feel like one big story, and so it felt kind of weird to watch them because it was all of them. It was Legends, Supergirl, Arrow, and Flash. Last year it was all of them, but it you didn't know, like on Flash Night you knew it was a story about Flash, you know, the first time, but this last year it was just one big story over the 3 hours. Nice. So it felt a little bit more put together, and I think that'll follow this year, but with the inclusion of Batwoman and Gotham, I think it's going to be even cooler.
So it's just on the Flash?
No. So it's so they cross all. So all of the characters appear in this crossover event.
No, but I mean, happens. Is it on the Flash's show or is it on all the shows again?
It should be.
It's
on all. The shows.
So it's on. I think Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. So it'll take over the Supergirl slot, the Flash slot, and the Arrow slot. But you won't. I mean, generally Monday is Arrow, so it'll happen on the Arrow time. Generally Tuesday's Flash, so it'll happen on that. But it'll happen in all of their worlds.
Generally not a fan of that, but it's still they're usually fun still.
I liked it. Like I said, last year's felt more complete. It felt like a more complete and thorough story than the first year.
To me, it's just hard to find if you don't watch all the shows.
I don't think you have to. I mean, I do watch all of them, for Supergirl. Except Supergirl's like, the one I don't.
The first one, I was watching The Flash. If you miss that episode, if you don't go watch all the other episodes, it just cuts weird and goes to the next episode. It makes no sense.
Oh, you mean all the episodes in the crossover? Yeah. Well, yeah, because it's one big story. You have to watch all three or four of the episodes.
It's just like any crossover, though. Yeah. Like, if you're watching just The Flash, you can just watch those two other episodes and be fine. You don't have to watch, like, the whole season. Oh, my thing is,
just kind of difficult to find. Like, I don't watch Supergirl, so if I don't see it in the sequence that it happens, then I gotta, like, figure out where the fuck it happened.
Oh,
Supergirl.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that
makes sense. They usually say, like, you know, story of Batwoman part 1, 2,
but I watch them all while they're happening. So
yeah, if you did it that way, that would be simple. I don't do it that way. So I'm like, I'm always
the hard way.
Well, no, I'm always doing like 4 months after it happened.
Right.
When I'm catching up, so I'm like, what the fuck did that happen?
A year or two after it happened, I'm always catching up.
Yeah, I hate you.
I know.
But it's going to be fun because you get to somehow Flash and Arrow transverse bodies. So Arrow is Flash, and everybody sees him as the Flash, and you get to see Stephen Amell in the Flash suit, and the same with Barry Allen with Grant Gustin. You get to see him in the Green Arrow suit, and so it's fucking. It just seems really cool. I like the idea.
I assume.
So did you hear about
very skinny?
Yeah, Flash. Stephen Amell came out and was like, "I can't wear the Flash suit. I can't breathe in it."
Did you see that he was working with a broken hip?
Huh.
So when he did Stephen Amell. So he did All In, the big wrestling thing, and he did a coast-to-coast shot.
Mm.
And when he did it, he put like a hairline fracture in his hip, and then the next day had to go like film fight scenes and like just dealt with it.
He's been in prison this whole season so far. He just got out in the next season. And he did
he's been in prison, and for a second I was like, what? Yeah.
Turns he did a naked fighting scene in the first episode.
Sexy.
So yeah, it was weird.
More weird. Yeah.
Talk talking about TV shows. Talk about Daredevil getting canceled.
No, we haven't talked about any. I mean, we have because they've been getting canceled incrementally. But
yeah. That was weird. Is that we all thought that Netflix did such a great job with Marvel shows, but evidently not because they're all being canceled.
I don't think that's why they're canceling them.
I don't think that's. I'm with Juan. I don't think they're getting like canceled. I think it's that Netflix is letting go of the shows and canceling them, air quotes.
You see, so they would say it differently then.
So that Disney's new streaming service can use it. Why would Netflix say it differently? They're probably really unhappy.
Yeah.
They're like, not going to... I think they're going to cancel Punisher and Jessica Jones, but those seasons, there's still two seasons to come out. So I would, in my opinion, it would do you a disservice if you're like, we're canceling Punisher before that season comes out. But I think they're next. They're once those seasons come out, I think they're next.
They're waiting for those to release and then leave them out for like a month, and then they're going to announce that they're canceled.
Because the shitty thing is though,
go to that Disney streaming.
The shitty thing though is you could be right, but Netflix doesn't fill anybody in on how the shows do. They don't give anybody viewership information, so you never know how well they're doing or what the drop off looks like or any of that.
To me, it seemed like Luke Cage and Daredevil were doing fine. The Iron.
I could see that one. Iron Fist I could see that one getting canceled. Me. But I who knows? Netflix is weird.
Netflix is weird. Like, they don't have to share information, so they don't. I mean, why would they?
Yeah, fuck you guys.
Like, stop off television. You like it. No.
Watch our new show.
They produce a lot of shit now. There's new shit all the time.
Literally every week. There's something new popping up that is at least mostly interesting to me on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. I haven't watched any Netflix shows, really.
It's a new cooking show that's kind of like it's kind of like a mix between Hell's Kitchen and MasterChef, but they travel.
I loved Hell's Kitchen.
They don't really travel, but they do a different type of food, like each episode. So like the first episode is Mexican food, and they have like, you know, a celebrity, a food critic, and a chef for like the first round, all from Mexico. And they say, what's the iconic Mexican food? Obviously it's tacos, mm-hmm. And then the next stage, they bring out basically one of the biggest living Mexican chefs to judge the next round, and they do that with Indian food and,
it'd be sweet if they just brought out the biggest Mexican chef. Dude's like 900 pounds.
Just like some.
I lied. I don't know Hell's Kitchen. I like Cutthroat Kitchen.
Oh, Cutthroat Kitchen's cool too. I like that show. Yeah, I've been watching a lot of Netflix.
I watched a lot of stuff. I watched the Impulse. Yeah. Not Impulse, I'm sorry, Origin.
Origin.
In 2 days.
Is that a YouTube show?
It's a YouTube Red show, and it is fucking
do you have to
amazing.
Have YouTube Red?
Yeah.
You do. Right now on YouTube, you can find the first two episodes for free, but then you've got to get YouTube Red. Everybody's going to have their own service. It just happens. This is going to happen.
Yeah. So, like, honestly, it's what I've always hoped for with cable. I would rather pay.
Is YouTube Red at least better than the CBS thing? Because that is hot.
I don't know.
So for me, I like the idea of find the thing that has the content you want and pay like $6 or $7 for it.
Me too.
So we have Hulu, we have Netflix, we
fine
have
with it.
WWE.
Just
when other stuff comes out, there's ways to watch it.
Just stop doing it premature is what I'm saying. It's like the CBS thing is super premature.
Yes.
The DC thing is super premature.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, there will be content, and it will be cool. Right now, it's 8 comic books and 2 TV shows. You pay $8 a month for that
and
shit.
One of the TV shows is a mess already.
So it's like, what? Like, it does not make any sense that is a service right now.
Yeah.
And the CBS thing, you guys are fucking cocksuckers, whoever runs that shit show. Because, seriously, you pay to watch it, and they still want you to pay in the app for seasons of shows.
Are you serious?
That are on CBS, yes.
Oh, that's insane.
Like, it's like you're paying to watch these shows, but you have to pay again to watch these shows.
Absolutely not. Like, if Disney did something like that, if there was a Disney streaming service and you had to pay, like, a separate fee for, like, Marvel, Star Wars, Disney Kids, I would giant middle finger that and not watch any of it.
The thing I figured with the CBS app is, like, at least if I want to, like, go back and watch old episodes of Big Bang Theory, I can. Nope, yes. You can't, because you have to pay for those seasons of Big Bang Theory.
That's
like, you get, like, three episodes.
Especially if you're paying a monthly fee. That's, like, insane.
What's the more insane about it is you get more back episodes on Hulu than you do on their own fucking app for their own show. What, that's Hulu has more access to your channel than you do?
That's the one thing that's really weird about the WWE Network is because of their deal with USA, you can't watch Raw on the WWE Network for like two weeks or something that.
Yeah.
So, like, can you watch it live? I don't know. I didn't think so. So I have this weird thing where I have that network, but I watch the vast majority of wrestling that I watch on Hulu.
Yeah.
Because they have a better deal than their own network has.
Yeah, I just feel like all these, maybe it's just there's so much they have to be, I feel like they're all just turning into cocksuckers, all these like media producers.
I feel like once you want, everybody's going to have like one or two things that you want to watch, and once you add up the $6 to $10 that you're paying, I feel like you're going to pay more than cable. Your cable bill. Yeah.
Oh, 100%. So right now, I like to operate on Amazon Prime and Netflix and Hulu. I hardly ever watch Hulu. I still pay for that shit. But if a show comes on Amazon Prime that I want to watch, I just buy it because I prefer that method. The latest season of Supernatural is not selling as a full season. I've never seen this in my fucking life. You can only buy it episode by episode.
Oh, weird. How much is each episode?
$2.99.
$3 times 20?
Yeah.
Which the price?
So $60.
Right, but a season usually is like 30.
30 to 40. So they're just upping jacking it, and you have to buy them individually. It's just fucked.
That sounds what do we pay per month for our cable and internet? 130?
That's what I pay too.
And I get fucking a lot of stuff. It's crazy to me. It seems like you're paying way more money than me. Maybe not. Like per month, maybe overall in the whole year, I think you may pay more money than me, but I feel like I have access to so much more. Well, see,
because I'm not at home as much as you.
Right.
I just want the access to that show wherever I go.
Right.
Like if I have an hour here, I can watch it.
And I do. The thing is, I do. They have an app where you can watch on the go. So you can watch all of the shit live while it's going on.
But I mean, like, I can't watch it live, is what I'm saying.
Right? On the computer? Except for sports, I think. Yeah, I think because that's a weird contract that the NFL has. But
I'm saying, like, I might be watching
any of my channels on my desktop or on my phone.
I can do that too. But I'm saying, like, I might not watch a show until 3 weeks after it aired at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Then it makes sense. Yeah, yeah.
And that's why.
And for me, just the stuff that I watch, I don't watch any sports really. So it's not. I don't need cable to watch NFL. And the things that I do watch are almost all on Netflix and Hulu. So we pay for our phone bill and internet is like kind of one thing, and it's, you know, probably like $20 less than you're paying for like your full thing. No, it's probably like, I don't know. Anyway, like, then we just have Netflix and Hulu,
right,
and
WWE. Right.
And that makes sense to me.
But if you're buying that seems a little bit more expensive to me. But I watch live. That's the major difference between us is that you're catching up or you're watching things later, and then you have to kind of buy them.
You're basically paying extra for convenience.
Right. Right.
Extra for convenience, and I do go back and watch shit over
because
Big
Bang Theory plays fucking on TBS all the time, damn near 4 hours straight, and so we just record every single one of them, and so I don't have. It's weird to me that they make you pay for the app and then pay for their reruns.
When I found that out, I was so like, weird. Are you fucking crazy? Like basically that what you're doing, CBS, which you're not listening, but what you're doing is when people want to watch one of your shows that you only offer through your streaming site, like your Star Trek show, people are going to buy your shit for a month. They're going to watch your show in a month after it's over, and then they're going to cancel your shit because your app is stupid.
Well, that's the joke that all of the wrestling podcasts say about WWE is that you open up a new email address and you get the network free for a month and then you cancel.
Yeah.
What I loved about the WWE network, even though I don't have it anymore because I choose to spend my time watching other things, is that it had way more than just the pay-per-views. You could watch all their original content, all their documentaries, all of the shit that you, and it's not anything extra. You just pay $10. That seemed very reasonable to me. You know, it's weird that you would pay go through the hassle of making another. Just go find it somewhere else if you're trying to get it free.
Or no, I'm just saying like if that's it's so for the weird people to me. That want to watch like. They want to watch the big four pay-per-views.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, just if you're going to try and skate the fucking system, just go watch it free somewhere. I know you can find a different way.
Yeah. It's just like, I think Fight Pass was the worst of this at first, like the UFC's Fight Pass streaming. You buy it. When a pay-per-view is coming out, you have to still buy the pay-per-view, and there's no discount. I'm fine with you having
Why would you buy the Fight Pass then?
Because you can watch old shit, right?
Oh, okay.
But the thing is, you can't watch the newest fight. Like UFC, like whatever, 285
right.
comes out. You can't watch that one until like two more have gone by. And then when one's coming up with like a really popular fighter, they'll black out that fighter's past fights too. So you like pay extra to watch those.
That's crazy.
And I'm just like.
Boxing is coming out with their own thing too. It's like $10 or $12 a month, but it includes all of the pay per views. So I think my brother was going to switch
that would
to
be
that
because
it's better than $60 or $80. For one pay-per-view all the time, so I think that seemed more
even
worth
if UFC
it.
Had like a $15.99 a month thing, whatever, and it just included the pay-per-views, I'd pay for it
because like, they have damn near one every month that you got to buy, yeah. And it's like $60.
It's weird to me. Like I've gotten so used,
pay-per-view's so weird.
I've gotten so used to the network that I don't pay for pay-per-views. So even when they talk about it being a pay-per-view, it's like a weird foreign concept to me.
But it's starting to become an outdated concept.
Yeah. It's just a name now.
It's starting to become. I think it's outdated as fuck.
Well, I mean, in like literally any pay-per-view that you want to see, you can just go to a bar and watch it for free.
Yeah.
You know, with maybe like a 2-drink minimum tops.
Just not with like your kids and shit. That's how they still make their money.
Yeah.
I don't know. But we got to talking about all this because I watched Origin.
Oh, and, yeah, that's right. I remember.
On YouTube Red that he owns legally.
Long, yeah. Long ago.
Natalia Tena and Tom Felton and one other guy who was not a big name, so I can't remember his name. But it's fucking awesome. It's a mix of like Lost and like Event Horizon. It's a fucking... a space horror show, and it's fucking phenomenal. Like, nice. It is really, really good. You don't know what the fuck's going on until the very... I mean, you know what's going on, but you don't know who's behind what's going on until the very last episode, which is cool. And it ends up being somebody who you don't fucking expect the whole time. Like,
Voldemort.
You think you know who it is. You think you know who it is, and it's not. It's just it's a really... like, it doesn't stop. There's always... somebody's dying, or something's going on, or there's some kind of alien... It's really, really good. I definitely recommend going out. And so I watched it in two nights. So 10 hours worth of stuff in 2 days.
Wow.
So
I wish I could even do that. I can't do that.
It's because when I'm at work, I don't do anything.
I used to get
Are
those
you
times.
Listening, Honda of Green?
There's nothing to
he
do.
Does nothing,
buddy. No, I might work for like 2 hours and be at work for 10. You know, it's just not. It
my work
sucks.
Used to feel like that, and now it's just like it's just beef coming out of every hole. <man. laughs>
I love it. If you have not watched it though, go watch it. That's
I plan on watching.
We had heard
Game
about
review,
it.
I was gonna watch it.
Yeah, we had heard about it a little bit because we got invited to the press to the.
Junket.
The table, the round.
No, it wasn't the
what
round
the fuck
table.
Is it called?
It was like a big panel.
That's what it's called.
Table.
That's the word I'm looking for. Square table.
It was a rectangular table.
But I think they showed some of the footage, but nobody really knew what was going on, I think is what it was. I wasn't there. You were there.
It was basically like 15 minutes from the first episode, and it was as you're watching it, you're like, slowly leaning forward in your chair because it was getting more and more intense as it went on, and it was awesome, and it definitely excited me to watch it.
That's special episode 19, by the way. They can listen to that whole...
I like
whole...
when you have the computer in front of you and you do stuff like that. It makes it really... You should do that all the time. It's super convenient and really awesome.
I was like impulse. I was like, I watched the first
please
two.
Please tell me the note you wrote on the back of his Christmas card was, please stop shitting in bags.
Well, only happened once.
It only needed to happen one time.
There's some things that only have to happen once.
It's true.
You fuck one goat.
Wow.
Haven't you heard that joke?
Yes.
Okay.
I watched the first two episodes of Impulse, and I thought it was good, but it didn't really catch me.
Yeah,
but I love horror shows, and I love it. Reminded me so much of the Event Horizon that it just sucked me in. Nice. And I needed to finish it to see what the fuck
genuinely
was going on.
Impulse,
the movie that scared me the worst of all time, even though I watched it today and it's nowhere near that scary.
It's not really that scary, but at the time,
it freaked me the fuck out.
Oh yeah, at the time I think I was like 8 and watching it by myself because my brother's an asshole.
Impulse ties in with Looper. Didn't you like that movie?
I liked Looper.
Okay, so
What Looper wanted to be.
It's kind of like a prequel,
but it had cool stuff
to Looper that fleshes out the world more. So I don't know. You might be pretty interested in that.
Like I said, I can't recommend it enough. So definitely go watch that series for sure.
My last thing on my list, I also cannot recommend enough. I went with Mel and Bailey to go see Bohemian Rhapsody, and it was fucking great.
I'm not a big fan. I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the movie. I'm not a big fan of him or them.
I just heard the movie has AIDS. I don't know if it's true.
Yeah, the movie totally has.
The movie itself?
Yeah. Like, you just go in, you get AIDS. That's how it works. No.
Do you get full-blown AIDS? Weren't we talking about this earlier?
Right, yeah. Into the full-blown AIDS. No, if you're so a fan of, like, biopic kind of stuff, like if you liked Walk the Line or the Ray Charles one, which was just called Ray.
With Jamie Foxx.
Very much in that same vein, you know, kind of a rising fall from grace, you know, make the big comeback story. And it's a very good, passable biopic. Like, it follows a track that is super familiar to any of those movies that you've ever seen. But I love Queen's music. Like, if you're not a huge fan, it may not be the movie for you. But if you are, it's a really, really good movie.
I will say that I feel like I'm in a minority of people when I say I don't like Queen.
Which is
just
fine.
In general. So,
yeah. I mean, I like Bohemian Rhapsody.
But it does have this amazing moment in it. Mike Myers is in the movie.
The killer?
No, Wayne.
Oh, damn.
Like, Austin Powers.
No, I know what you're talking about.
I wish Austin Powers was in the movie.
He plays a record executive that is like upset with Queen because they've been in this cabin or like this farm for like 2 months or whatever recording Bohemian Rhapsody. And you get this amazing scene where Mike Myers, looking right into the camera, says, "There's no way kids are ever going to be excited to sit in their car and headbang to this song," as like this awesome allusion to like Wayne's World.
Right.
And it made me laugh so hard. And I was probably the only person in the theater that laughed that
They're
hard.
All shut up.
They're like, "Hey, fatty, we get it. It's from Wayne's World. Shut the fuck up."
I bet they didn't get it.
There's a good chance, but it was awesome, man. And it was really fun to watch it with Mel, who loves Queen, and Bailey, she loves Queen too. So, and just some of the ideas that they had, you know, where we don't need to be a specific genre of music. Like, we just want to make music that excites people. When they were writing We Will Rock You, they talk about how they wanted something that's specifically to engage the audience. They wanted to write a song that the audience sings, kind of thing. It was just, man, it was a ton of fun. It was a good movie. So there's a little one pacing back and forth behind me. You're making me nervous. Come say hi. Your dad told you not to, so do it. Say hi.
What do you need?
He wanted a hug. He wants a hug.
No, he doesn't want a gay
hug.
Oh,
he wants hugs.
He didn't come over here for a
hug.
He's not even hugging your back.
No, that's the best part. No, hug me. How long have we been going?
An hour and 12 minutes.
Well, you want to call it break and come back?
Yeah. Taking a break.
When we come back, we'll be talking about an interesting movie, to say the least.
Our
pop culture classic is Memento.
Ooh, I watched the wrong movie.
Did you really?
What did you watch?
I watched Requiem for a Dream.
Oh, that is a big difference.
But I've seen Memento, so we're good.
Hello, Hobie listeners. You don't know us, We know you. I'm Sean.
And I'm Ian.
And we're the Pittsburgh Nerd Podcast, better known as the bad guys, the villains of the story, if you will. A feud that we didn't even start. It was started by Jason. All because he called us out. And we retaliated and such. Because, what did we say, Ian?
We got rings, baby.
That's right. We've got rings. And the feud escalated. And now here we are, the bad guys. So here we are petitioning today to be the 2016 Floppy Villains of the Year. And to hear just how villainous we are, check out our show. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Satchel, and any other number of podcasting apps that you may find out there. Jeez, I can't even talk. That's how villainous I am. So there you go. Go ahead. Give us a listen.
Go Steelers.
Hi, this is Amanda Donahue, illustrator for the new graphic novel, The Margins.
And I'm David Acampo. I'm the one of the co-writers of The Margins. And you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
And we're back.
Middle hours.
Yeah. Afternoon hours.
Yes. I feel so tired for some reason.
Dude, this is my for real tired time. I'm way more tired than I normally am when we do this show.
Did you not go to sleep?
No, I did. But like, imagine if you came home, went to sleep for the night, woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and then just drove 30 minutes and did a podcast.
I can make that happen.
I could too. That's why I'm here. But I'm so sleepy.
Yeah, that's why.
But you're gonna go home and go to sleep again, aren't you?
Yes.
That's why I'm drinking coffee right now.
I got a Red Bull and drinking coffee. I guess there's no caffeine in this fucking root soda.
Beer.
So this
ain't never diarrhea beer.
I don't know why
I'm doing anything that I'm doing right now.
You're like Hannah. Yeah. Why'd you guys bring me out here?
What'd you bring me here for, Gabe?
I didn't. You came here on your own. No, I didn't.
Yeah, Gabe's all, yeah, Doyle's coming. I was like, does he even know where I live?
Because I always drive you.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Attention.
Oh, man. Hey, so we're ready to talk about Jason Wells' pop culture classic?
Ready to talk about Requiem of a Dream? Right, right.
I'm super ready to talk about Memento, but I guess I could talk about Requiem for a Dream also.
So
Memento.
Today we're talking about 2000s.
Mementos, the fresh.
Mementos. Oh my gosh, it's amazing. Memento, directed by Christopher Nolan, starring Guy Pearce, Carrie Ann Moss, Joe Pantoliano. I just assume
this Trinity.
I assume this takes place in an alternate Matrix universe.
Yeah.
Heyo.
So, trivia. Leonard's medical condition is actually a real medical condition.
Yes, sir.
Which would suck balls.
I kind of wish I had it.
I'm not entirely sure that you don't. That's
true. Masturbating must be insane. Just like all of a sudden blinking into existence with your dick in your hand. Like, what the fuck is going on? Why am I outside? I don't know.
Why are you outside when you're masturbating?
To begin with, yeah, that's a weird
something
thing.
Something about
just
the
by
fresh
itself.
Air just hitting you.
Oh, wow.
Bare-chested.
Your sex life's way different than mine, I think.
Yeah.
Tried to do most of mine inside.
I like to do a lot of stuff outside. I don't know. Your pee outside just feels better.
That's
feels
weird.
Like it's meant to.
Wow.
I mean, I don't do it like in neighborhoods or anything. It's just like camping, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, it doesn't come up often.
I'm only on, like,
on women.
Free state sex predator list.
I was talking about like, when camping. I don't know. Outside stuff feels good.
So, a cinematographer named Mark Vargo actually turned down working on this movie because he didn't understand the script.
Understandable.
If that gives you any indication of what the script was like. I thought this was really weird. Nolan's first choice for Leonard was Alec Baldwin. How different of a movie would this have been with Alec Baldwin in it?
Every movie
is different with Alec Baldwin in it.
it goes from weird and kind of unsettling to smarmy as fuck. And I thought this was an interesting fact. It was selected by the Library of Congress for preservation for being culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant to film. Nice. So
it's going in the public domain, I think is what that means.
That means after a specific amount of time, it goes into the public domain, and then they keep a copy of it in
for the zombie perpetuity. Apocalypse.
Yeah, so that if something happens...
It will never die.
Right.
It's like in a vault somewhere under the Library of Congress.
But I think, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think once that happens, it goes into the public domain, doesn't it?
No, I think it's a specific amount of time because copyright...
Yeah, you just don't have to make their money on it.
They have to make their money off of it, and they hold the copyright for like a specific amount of time.
That's what I'm saying. So
but
now
I don't
that
think
it,
they can renew it like after it expires.
So once something hits the Library of Congress as to go into the archives or whatever, I assume at that point it's public domain. Am I wrong?
You are. Like I think. Because other things, like, because they keep all the comic
I could
books.
Be wrong.
Like,
that's just funny. You for sure are definitely
I
wrong.
I might be wrong. I don't know.
Because they keep all the comic books, too. Like, they keep a copy of, like, every comic book.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh,
and I think it has to do with...
I thought it was just a certain amount of time.
I don't think they can renew the copyright on things or something weird. I don't know. I'd have
to
look it up.
You can renew... I think the copyright is for 10 years, and then I think you can renew it one time after that, I believe.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll look it up some other time.
Yeah, there you go.
But I just thought that was really interesting.
That's cool.
Because, like, the movie itself is something. Like, it's something very different, very unique, and done in a visual and stylistic way that I genuinely have never seen another movie even close to like
this. Very unique movie.
Yeah. So, going around the circle, initial thoughts.
I like that it's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. A Requiem of a Dream is weirder, but...
Yeah.
We are talking about Requiem for a Dream. Memento is weirder.
Let's talk really quick about why we keep bringing up Requiem for a Dream. When we paused to go to break, I said, we're talking about 2000 Memento, and I don't know that we recorded this moment.
I don't remember.
Said,
I don't remember.
Wait, we're not.
Oh, fuck. I watched Requiem for a Dream. So
I could have sworn that was the fucking thing
not
we're
only
watching.
Did you watch the wrong movie, like you put yourself through mental abuse. Like,
dude, it was rough.
Dude, that movie is hardcore.
Yeah.
I highly recommend watching it one time because it's like that, like just to sidetrack for a second,
right.
Requiem for a Dream is an incredibly well-made movie, an incredibly intense movie.
Dead babies on ceilings.
Incredibly important film, I think, in a lot of ways, like a lot of Darren Aronofsky's movies are, but holy fuck, you need to watch it once and then you're good.
Yeah.
Because that movie,
I agree,
has a whole lot of butt fucking and crazy shit and just
old grannies using drugs,
stuff that makes you not feel good when you're done watching it.
Yeah, you know, it's an experience where you leave it going like, that's a good movie, but...
I'm dirty.
Yeah, I don't want to watch it again.
Doyle literally hasn't gone to church in decades. He went He went today.
Yeah.
Father, they kicked him out, but... he went.
The priest was like, Doyle, you're back. You saw Requiem for a Dream again, huh?
Yeah. It's
so,
up there.
It was weird. I like weird... kind of movies that you don't really sure what the fuck's going on.
The structure of it is so ingenious because if you haven't seen this movie, the basic premise is Leonard is this dude that has a form of amnesia where he can only remember so much time. It's like, is it like...
No, it's like he can't remember the last 15 minutes or something like that.
Well, it just resets like every like 15 to
but 20 like long-term
minutes.
Memories are completely unaffected.
Right.
Like, or memories before his wife was murdered.
Right, before he took
before
his
he was,
brain injury.
Yeah, before he was attacked.
So he has complete access to those.
So he's trying to piece together who murdered his wife, but the only way he can do that is by building clues and leaving himself hints, which he tattoos to his body. So what it does is the movie starts at the end of the story, plays out the last 5-10 minutes of that part of the story.
Yes.
And then it resets and it plays like 15 minutes up to the last 15 minutes you watch, and it keeps resetting and going back and then coming back to where it was and then going back and coming back to where it was. And the structure of it, while confusing, it basically reinvents the plot of the movie
right.
every 5 minutes or yeah. something like that. And it is fucking ingenious. Like, A, the writing on this had to be insane. Like, it had to be one of the most difficult pieces of scripting slash fiction to write. Like, apparently it's based on a short story that was never published. So it's considered...
He couldn't remember how to finish it.
Right. He's like, I got confused, so I never published it. But the structure of this movie is really what makes this movie, how it keeps reinventing right. itself and reinventing itself. What have you guys ever had the opportunity on the DVD? There was like a, if you took a quiz that was on the special features and like answered all the questions right and then clicked on like a certain part, there was an Easter egg that reorganized the chapters on the DVD so that
they, oh, so they were in order?
So that they played in chronological order. Have you guys ever had no. a chance to watch the movie that way?
That sounds complicated.
I didn't even know they did that.
Yeah, it was really complicated. And this was like pretty early internet, so it was like a little tricky to find. I remember doing it, gosh, man, like probably in like 2003 or 2004. So like it's been like 14 or 15 years since I've seen it that way. This movie is not as good just in order.
In order.
Yeah, because it's just a very linear plot line of Joe Pantoliano's character, whose name I don't remember, just fucking over some dude, you know, who just is mentally handicapped.
John Edward. Teddy Gamel.
So... it's just the story of a dude fucking over a guy for his own uses. Like, it's just kind of a crime drama.
Right.
And it's good, but it's not this. Like, this is a stunning movie because...
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I liked it. Like I said, I like movies where I'm not quite sure. I like non-linear or movies where I'm not... like I said, I'm not sure what's going on. Like, what the fuck is happening? That's it's a cool movie because a lot of the movies you go into, you're like, I kind of feel like I know what is going to happen in the end. And then if it happens, you're like, okay, cool. I still enjoyed the movie. But you go into movies like this and you go, I have no idea what's going on from moment to moment. So I enjoy that.
I wonder if they originally made the movie in the right way. I was like, this movie's not that good. Came up with the whole brain damage thing. It was like, just mix it the fuck up. Now it's crazy.
That would be unreal if that's how that movie got made. But it feels like it was intentionally scripted way. Sure. You know, what I find really interesting about it is this was a time, like there was a time in the early 2000s where it felt like you could make like an indie movie or an art house style movie and it would get enough buzz and there were enough people that were going to the movie theater that something like this could be fairly successful. If this movie got made right now, it would probably go to Sundance, win a bunch of awards, go to like Alamo draft houses, and sure, a lot of people would watch it, but it wouldn't be a ton of people watching it regular in the movie theater and then a fuck ton of people buying it on DVD. Right. Like, this is definitely one of those like 2000s like kind of cult movies like Fight Club.
It is weird. And like a lot of movies now you have to pay fucking millions and millions of dollars for people to watch your movie. Like you can't, there's obviously exceptions, you know, Mandy is one of them.
Right.
But you don't, still though, pretty you don't, big, you don't see a lot of
budget on Mandy.
Yeah. And you don't see a lot of small budget movies that really get seen by a ton of people until like it starts to pick up a little bit of steam. But you know, if you know Avengers, when that comes out, a shit ton of people are gonna watch it. When Aquaman comes out, a ton of people are gonna watch it because they're giant feature films. And I feel like it's pushing aside these smaller, you know, more diverse movies,
the movies that you have to take a risk to make
right.
and watch
right.
Because I think that's the other thing. It used to be I could buy a DVD for like $3 or like go rent it for like $1.99. Getting Memento on on video on demand, probably like $6 or $7.
Right.
And that's, yeah. I mean, the movie came out fucking 18 years ago. Like, I shouldn't have to pay $7 for it, you know? Like, fortunately, I just have a copy on DVD, so.
Sure you do.
No, I do. I'm just kidding. It took me forever to find it, but I dug it out. Like, you know, but there's, it seems like there's less willingness to take a risk on making a movie.
Right.
Because you've got to make the tens of millions of dollars to prop up Disney or whatever. But I think there's also more risk in watching a movie because you either have to pay like $7 or $8 for an old movie on video, you know, VOD, or you have to go to the theater that's going to cost you $12.
Right.
You know, it's not, we were talking about the cheap theater earlier. There's no go to the movies for $2 anymore. Even the matinee is like $8 now, you know, and it doesn't, sure, $8 isn't a ton, but it's also a lot more than I can spend $8 on like a book and get 20 hours of entertainment. Well,
and how many people go to the theater by themselves?
Yeah.
Like, not a lot. I mean, there's people out there, but generally you're with one person at least, you know? Yeah. So you're paying $16. Maybe you get some popcorn.
Yeah, lots of money.
You're paying into the 20s.
Any kind of snacks, you're paying a fuckload of money.
It is a lot more money.
You know, it's just, it's interesting. Like, I think because, like, the movies are great and it's fun to go to the movies, but I think because it's become so expensive to go that there's less people willing to take a risk on what they watch, and as a consequence studios are so concerned about making as much money as possible that they're less willing to take a risk on what they make.
Right.
You know, and you look, there's kind of like these two eras of filmmaking, like in the 70s and the early 2000s, where just crazy ass movies got made because accessibility to watching movies for cheap happened. I don't know.
It could be that, but I think a lot of it has to do with art changing in general. Like, the newer generations, like, art is just different. It's much more mainstream. Like, even if you look at, like, the big artistic things that companies do now to make money, it's, like, mainstream bullshit, the same as anything else that typically is, like, flying off shelves.
I mean,
that I see.
Like, there's art house movies that are still coming out.
Like, I'm not saying those don't exist. I'm just saying, like, even the stuff that tries to play itself off as, like, this is different, it's really not that different. You know,
like,
what I mean?
Like what, though?
Like, big popular stuff in general. Like, I was thinking, like, so, like, back in the day, like, shoe companies used to make, like, really, specifically Converse used to make, like, really crazy-ass shoes, right? And that would be, like, they're, like, this is unique. Look, their unique shoes today are, like, not unique at all.
They're just Hunter Orange.
Yeah, and it's, like, and then it's, but these flew off the fucking shelf. Like, this is the new coolest thing. And it's just, like, I just don't get it. It just doesn't feel like it used to me. Like,
oh, sorry.
I don't know how to explain it, really.
But. Total side note. We're driving through downtown Greeley last night at about 12 o'clock, like, right around midnight on our way home from date night, Mel and I. And this Lyft pulls over, and, like, these college kids, a fucking clown car out of the Lyft.
Yeah.
And they're all wearing, like, bright orange or bright, like, fluorescent pink shoes and stuff. And Mel's just like, the fuck is wrong with kids' shoes these days? I'm like, who cares? Just a different color.
I like different colored shoes.
Yeah, like, I have orange shoes too.
It was just funny, like, just the amount of anger that she expressed because that poor kid's shoes are like Hunter Orange was.
I just like bright stuff. Hilarious. I don't give a fuck if everybody else is wearing it. I just like bright clothes.
Yeah, it was.
To me, the whole world just feels like slightly different. I don't know. It feels more bland, more like everything is mainstream, or it doesn't get much of a chance. Like Mandy, like you said before, I feel like Mandy would have been a bigger movie 10 years ago.
See, and that's kind of where I'm at. Like, that particular director, Panos Cosmatos, and then the other Greek director that made Dogtooth and Killing of a Sacred Deer and stuff, or like Heredity was billed as like this crazy intense horror movie in the horror community.
It looked crazy.
It got a ton of buzz. It's a really, I mean, it is a killer good movie, but it's like totally weird and totally different. And as a consequence, it was in and out of theater so fucking fast. Or The Witch. The Witch is a perfect example.
The Witch was very good.
Because it's not you know, the sequel to Paranormal Activity, where shit's just jumping out at you and scaring the shit out of you nonstop. It's just this slow burn, creepy movie that you have to pay attention to what they're saying because they're speaking like kind of an antiquated form of English.
Yeah.
That movie's creepy as fuck. But if you're just waiting for the jump scare, that movie is boring as fuck, you know? And so the 15-year-old in front of me was complaining through the whole movie until I had to lean forward and be like, hey, if you don't like it, go watch something else. Like, you're ruining it for the people
that are paying. Go watch Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, go watch Wreck-It Ralph. I hear it's funny. Some fat guy told me. Like, it's just like – it's like one of those things where – it feels like everything's smoothed out. If it's not exactly what you were expecting, it's no good. And that's,
or it's just banished to like
obscurity,
straight to Netflix movie title. That the people who do appreciate it will love it.
And that's the crazy thing is there Netflix, YouTube, and some of these offshoot Hulu is putting out their own branded stuff. And it doesn't that stuff that sometimes I don't even know's out, and it's amazing. Like it's really good.
They're, Man in the High Castle is a it's good. It's really good. I had no idea that was coming out as a TV show, other than it kept popping up on my ads.
See, what's weird is like it's hugely popular, but if you go to like what's popular, it's not even there.
It's if like, you were to go to no, like those go to are the high things school you can't, and be like, that's hey, what I was saying. Yeah,
what's your favorite? Have you seen Man in High Castle? They're like, what the fuck is that movie? Like, I'm serious. Like, they just doesn't exist.
I wasn't even paying attention to its existence until Mel watched it, like binge watched it. And I was like, I need to fucking watch the shit out of this show. Like,
that's cool because it's not, they're not, I mean, you would think Netflix, it seems, because it's so big, it seems mainstreamy, but it's not. It's really not. And so they can afford to take more chances on stuff because it's probably low budget.
Well, and they have a built-in audience.
Yeah, and they can just leave it there in perpetuity. They don't have to rely on ticket sales. But all the little
stuff in there is not necessarily big.
It's interesting. Like, it's almost like Netflix is the new Blockbuster Video. You know what I'm saying? Like, you used to go to Blockbuster and you had the choice of all the big hits and they're all available, but you've seen Independence Day at the Cheap Theater 26 times, so you don't need to fucking watch it again. So you wander over to, like, the foreign films aisle and you're like, oh, this movie looks crazy. Like, I watched, I don't even remember what it's called, but it was like some crazy...
I was trying to find the title of this horror movie I watched a while back, and I can't fucking find it.
That's my biggest issue with Netflix is the history of what you've watched is difficult enough to A, find, and B, go through, because you typically watch so much shit on Netflix that if I forget the name of something I watched, I can never fucking find it.
Yeah, it's gone forever.
Ugh, it's awful. There's that movie where those guys are in the woods and they walk into the weird like space alien cube and then they come out and they all murder each other. No idea what that movie is called. It was on Netflix. It's not on Netflix anymore. For the love of God, if you saw that movie too, please tell me what it was called. But I don't mean just you. I mean like the people that listen to the show.
No idea.
I literally spent...
There's not even like a section that says movies you've watched.
I spent most of a day at work going through my Netflix viewing history trying to find that movie after we talked about it a couple of episodes ago.
Where the fuck is the viewing history? Are we about to
watch fucking prolapsed anuses?
Maybe.
I'm facing the other way.
This is a stupid show.
I fucking love this show.
Oh my gosh. Anyway.
He's a veterinarian. Why is it stupid? He's helping ritual? Animals.
No, it's not the ritual.
It's not the ritual. The other one. No, it's not. I looked. Anyway. So... going back to Memento, like it has that feel of like an independent film from the 2000s. Like it has this feel of something unique and original, like while also having like really big stars in it and like a director that went on to do like Batman and like Batman versus Superman and Batman the Dark Knight and
he loves Batman.
Yeah, I love Batman. I mean, it's just it's a really fascinating thing that this movie exists out there, and I mean, it's still mind-blowing. Like, it's still just a great movie. I don't know. What else do you guys have to say about it?
No, I agree. Even though I didn't watch it because I fucked up and watched the wrong movie.
Boy, did you fuck up.
I have seen it several times, and it's always been, like... My thing is, like, it does the whole, like, this movie, what's going on in this movie... Like, what the fuck is happening? It does that perfect.
Right.
Because by the end, it's not spoon-fed to you, but you get it. Does that make sense? Like, you don't walk away going, what the fuck happened in that movie? Like, it's not like a Donnie Darko, where I also love that movie, but I've seen it like 15 times, and if I didn't watch the commentary, I'd still be going, like, what the fuck happened in that movie? But
this one wraps up.
Like, yeah.
You watch it.
It has a ending.
Maybe halfway through the movie, you're like, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck is happening right now? But by the time you get to the end of it, you're like, oh. Yeah.
I get it now.
That's when did it come out? 2000?
2000.
87, 97. So I was 13 years old. So I don't know how, it touch base on what we were talking about a couple, you know, a few minutes ago. I don't remember it coming out. I was 13 years old. I probably wasn't paying attention. So I don't know if it came out as kind of like a tent pole or a big blockbuster or something like that. Like, but it feels like you've been saying, it feels like what would be like in an art house or something like that. And it's kind of weird to think about how things have changed so much over the time. So
it's weird. It's weird in the same way that like Mallrats came out in the theater and you could go watch it at the you know, the mall or whatever, but it didn't stay in the theater very long. But on DVD, you could go buy it for like $5,
right?
Like, let alone rent it for like 99 cents from like Hastings or Blockbuster or whatever. So you would see Memento. One of your friends would have said, dude, you should watch this movie. It's crazy good. You rent it for 99 cents, and then you go buy the DVD for $5 and watch it like six more times. Like, that doesn't exist really anymore. And it's a weird, like we said, it's a weird place where I think, like, it stifles creativity. It makes this mainstream flat line of, we're really only going to make movies that we know we can make $50 million off
of. You know what's crazy, though? I think it does exactly what you're saying, but I think in the event that you have a low-budget movie, an art house movie or whatever, that is just catching fire, like Mallrats, you could be like, oh, I loved it. You should watch it. I'll bring it over. You know what I mean? And maybe that takes a few days, and then finally you watch it, and then you tell your friends again. Now, if you watch something... Facebook link, here's the link, go rent, go it, go watch it, and it catches fire much quicker, faster. Which is crazy to think about, that a small budget movie like that can gain that kind of cult notoriety so much faster than it used to be.
Mandy's a perfect example of that, because it went from nobody having heard of it to this is the performance Nicolas Cage was born to be in, to having a Rotten Tomatoes percentage of 100% for like
I just don't feel like Face Off was the role that this kid was meant to play.
You almost made one spit so everywhere.
Took like, his face off.
But like it literally had like a Metacritic of like 98 and a Rotten Tomatoes of 100% for a minute, like for a while there. And it's just because of that. Like, one person saw it and was like, this is fucking nuts. You need to watch it. Or, this is the most doom metal movie ever made. You need to watch it. And next thing you know, like, a fuck ton of people were watching it.
I'm in a love-hate relationship with that kind of shit. Because before a movie comes out, a critic can just ruin and just make people not go to the movies.
See, the cool thing about the way that I view stuff is I pay zero attention.
Well, I have to pay attention. I have to pay attention in the sense that I feel like it's kind of what we do.
Yeah.
And so I do. I pay a lot of attention.
I have to ignore you online a significant amount also.
Well, I have to, though. We do this thing.
No, here, I get you.
That's
I get makes, you.
That's why I personally, I'll never let a critic dictate what I watch, but a lot of people do.
No, I always
hear people going, nah, I hear it's not very good, so I'm gonna wait for it to come out or something like that. So you fuck movies up that way.
No, I mean, I'm very much, I've always been like, if I want to go, if I feel it's good to me, I'm gonna check it out.
Right.
And that's what I try to do. Like, I, what's funny though is because I'm like generally like negative about things, I typically choose what I'm not gonna watch and then fill in the blanks with things that I haven't like yelled about not wanting to watch.
That's funny.
Because I'm a dick. So.
What it was a good movie. Yeah. Thumbs up for me.
Huge thumbs up. Yeah. Like, I love this movie. It's one of my favorite movies.
I don't have an attachment to it. So for me, it's just a thumbs up.
For me, there's a lot of cool memories attached to it. Like, I mean, it was genuinely, I would take the DVD with me over to friends' houses and be like, we got to watch this. Yeah. And then I would watch it again. And then I'd go to Doyle and be like, we got to watch this.
I think we did watch it together.
Yeah,
and I remember watching it with Jeremy Nunn and Bobby and Jared also.
I took it over. I know I took it
to Steve's
house.
And then I remember watching it with Lane also.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've seen it with multiple Lane movies too. Or multiple people as well.
It's interesting. Like, I have a lot of good memories of sitting around watching this movie like several times.
Yep.
It's pretty cool.
It's not Requiem for a Dream.
Correct. We are not going to watch that for a pop culture class.
Oh, are we?
It's been a minute since I've seen the movie.
It'd be funny if you picked it for your next one just to be a dick.
Yeah, it's not one of mine.
I watch it. Now you have to watch it.
Next one, Passion of the Christ.
No. Oh, God. I mean, it was a decent movie. It was stylistically, I think it was an okay movie. I just don't want to watch Jesus getting beat up
so
or somebody.
When I saw,
think of it
anybody.
Jesus Christ Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
When I saw Passion of the Christ, I still worked for a ministry. And they took, we had a retreat, and they took everyone to a movie to go
did the
see
same
it.
Thing.
Right?
Yep.
It was Mel Gibson and your guys, too, as you were doing that tour.
No, they...
Okay, Mel Gibson was at ours. Just for a second, he came in and was like, I hope you guys love the movie. I'm out of here. I got to go to another theater and do the same shit.
I was...
somebody else.
I was at a youth pastor's conference in, like, Atlanta or something like that, and they literally took the whole fucking conference to see the movie. It's like...
It was the most ridiculous thing, looking back at it, too, because it was like, did you cry? You fucking heathen, did you cry? You watch Jesus die, you fucking heathen, you better cry. Dude, it was the weirdest shit ever. I would rather watch Backdoor Betty's Five with my mom than go sit and watch Passion of the Christ with a room full of pastors again.
That sounds like an experiment we need to have.
Because that was insane. It was the most insane guilt trip of watching a movie I've ever experienced
like
in my life.
Like, if you didn't experience emotion, then clearly something was wrong.
Yes, like,
with
if
you.
Your life wasn't automatically wrecked, it was just like, God. And honestly, I just didn't like the movie that much. Like, I was like, Jesus did, if you read the Bible, he had a lot of cool shit, interesting character. There's a lot more to him than just getting beat the fuck out of for 48 hours. Like... And that weird angelic demon baby was creepy as fuck.
Those were my favorite parts of the movie. All the devil parts, I was like, oh, that's creepy.
I love the devil.
That's where we're at now. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I did watch this amazing YouTube video that was Christians react to a Behemoth video earlier today. It's like this death metal band. And they're like, oh my God. Is he singing about Satan? I'm like, this is hilarious. Like, that guy wears makeup and sings about the devil because he gets paid a lot of money to do it, not because he believes in any of that shit. Oh, he might.
You never know.
I probably shouldn't say that for him, but...
I don't believe in the devil, though.
I do.
I'm only saying that because when we have our seance...
I buy a lot of merchandise from him.
When we have our seance one, he's not coming into me,
seance episode. You definitely have to
see,
do
I always
that
feel like
stuff.
You just got to win your bet. It's like, I believe in you. Please don't fuck me over. Mayakoba.
Weird.
No, I had a fucked up childhood, man. All that shit was just shoved.
I feel
down
like
my
you have
fucking...
a fucked up in all adulthood.
No, because now I'm like a rational human being. As a child, it's just shoved down your throat, that Catholic or whatever bullshit, to the point where you're like, I'm not good enough.
The devil. And I'll literally never be good enough.
And then you think like, oh, the devil's going to fuck me up. So maybe if I just do this one like fucked up thing every once in a while, devil won't give a shit. Like, dude, that was my whole, like, mentality up until, like, I was, like, 10 or 12.
So devil,
just, like,
devil did one, right, Doyle did one fucked up thing every week. Yeah. He's all right.
That kid punched that kid in the fucking nose. All right. And now we love Jesus again.
I try not to I mean, inevitably, my kids are going to kind of attach themselves to things that I like, but I try not to push anything on them. So they didn't get baptized. They didn't none of that stuff because I want.
They're going to hell,
if,
man.
If yeah. they, or maybe. I don't, it's already written in the book of the damned. I can't control that. That's on them.
Yeah.
If in the end they choose to do that, that's there. That's their relationship with whatever they want to do.
And I still don't even have a problem with religion. It's just the way that I was raised in it was not cool.
Like, me too. Yeah.
And a lot of way that people raised.
Don't have an issue with a belief in a deity or a higher being. It's more organized religion that I'm not a fan of, and so I don't know.
And that's why, like in my family, we do the same thing. Like I believe what I believe, Mel believes what she believes, and my kids get to pick whatever they want because it's not my place. Like, because I know what it feels like to have someone cram "this is what you believe" down your throat until you're like, no, it's not. Fuck this noise.
Yeah.
Stop raping little kids, Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Just saying.
On that note.
It's not hard to do.
Who's next?
Keep the dick in the pan. Doyle's next, and he has already made his pick.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
For the next movie is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
The first one.
I'm excited for that one.
And so the the pick after Doyle's is ours. So we... What would we...
I don't know. I don't have a movie teed up. I'm like, I have an idea.
Yeah.
But not today.
I have an idea. Starts with Battlefield. Ends with
No. God damn it. No.
Starts with Battlefield.
Ends with Earth.
The movie John Travolta was meant to be.
Let's kind of finish. Maybe we'll think of something through at the end. But next, we're watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes. The original.
The original. Not the fucked up fake
Which
graphic
I
bullshit.
Still think is... quite possibly the best Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that's been made to date, in my opinion.
Down. I agree. Yeah, that's not...
let's not talk about it. Why
you don't
are we
have
talking
to think about it.
About it.
That's a true fact.
I think a lot of people like the new ones, but they're, not,
the
on,
new
they're
ones.
Not on the same level.
I don't think a lot of people like the new ones. It was rated like the worst film of the year
that's
it came out.
That's why there's only two of them,
I think
there's
making
like 35
another one.
Transformers movies.
A lot of people really like Transformers.
Yeah.
I have them all. I don't even like them.
The Bumblebee one is getting a lot of praise so far. I don't know if they've screened it yet, but it's supposedly a pretty good movie.
You know what's weird is like a movie
has
to hit.
The critics that you were shitting on just a few minutes ago.
I don't know.
I know.
A movie. So for me to call a movie good, it has to be good. But like Battlefield is not good. But a movie has to hit a one note with me for me to buy it and keep it and watch it every once in a while. And Transformers does that. It's like. Big robot things fight other robot things. It could do nothing else.
Yeah.
To me, Transformers could release 15-minute movies, and I would pay to have them, where it's just robots kicking the shit at each other for 15 minutes.
You know,
like,
cool. You know that's just episodes of Transformers the cartoon, right? Okay.
You would do the same thing with Kaiju.
No, I know. I'm not disagreeing with him. I'm just saying that exists.
Yeah.
It's the Transformers cartoon. Just buy that instead.
Yeah. That's like I haven't.
Limited plot, robots fighting each other.
You're going, quack, quack, quack,
I think I'm the same way
make.
With The Rock. I don't
if
care what
it
is.
It.
I'm watching it.
Yeah.
He's made some
I
good movies,
I cannot fucking
though.
Wait for the next
he's made some
Fast
bad
and
movies.
Furious spinoff. I can't wait.
Those
I cannot
skip
wait.
Still.
That Tall Building movie, not good.
I haven't watched it.
Walking
so I
Tall,
know.
I thought very good movie.
It's a
rock.
Funny movie.
Jumanji was hilarious.
Jumanji, I didn't like as much as you guys, but it was all right.
A rock movie because there's so many other people in it.
But
he's
also
in it.
Amazing.
He's
in
it. He's and it's funny. It's
hey,
good.
The best diabetes jab game. At black people I've ever seen. Flew right under the radar.
Oh man. All right, well, we're going to take a break, come back with old man stuff, and wrap up this show, and maybe talk about what the pop culture classic after TMNT is, if we can come up
think
with
of
something.
One.
If not, we'll
the
just...
Rock's first movie. What was it?
What was it? I think it was Walking Tall, wasn't it?
No. No way. We'll look. We'll look while we're on break. All right, we'll
take
be right
out.
Back.
I watch. You're listening to us.
What's up, guys? This is Epic Film Guy Nick here, and I just want to take a few moments to tell you about an excellent podcast that I personally listen to called Ice and the Face. All right, now if you're a fan of dystopian and even nihilistic comedy, this is the show for you. Rick and Sarah take the most ridiculous news items in the world every single week, and they just tear these stories down, all while having a great, great laugh. They're usually joined by guests who jump right in on the fun, and it's just a great time. They just launched a Patreon over at patreon.com/iceintheface, so you can also support them. But if you're not listening to this show, what you need to do is go to their website at iceintheface.com or jump over on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe to Ice in the Face. I promise you'll listen for 2 minutes and you will be hooked just like I am. So go ahead and give it a listen and back to your regularly scheduled program.
Hi, this is Barbara Dillon.
And Brian Dillon.
From Fanbase Press.
And you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
All right, The Matrix.
Unfortunately, not the last.
Right.
All right, we're recording.
All right. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. So I'm going to do my old man pick, and then we'll wrap up the episode.
Yay!
So Hulu released a movie, and this isn't like a super, super old man pick. But what the fuck are you doing?
I don't know what he's saying. I can't hear him.
Hulu released a movie that it's not very old. I just really like it. But
this is the Gabe segment.
No,
my old this, person classic.
This came movie, out 5 days ago.
Would you shut the fuck up. Like, why did my voice go all high like that? Shut the fuck up. No, so the movie's called Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. It stars Michael Cera.
That's been a while.
And another.
That came out a while
ago. A girl, I don't remember her name. Definitely.
She was famous for a hot minute.
I don't know. She has big boobs. I can never remember her name, though.
Definitely came out like.
She was in two broke girls.
2005, 2007, something like that. Because they all have flip phones.
What's it called?
Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist.
She's in Broke Girls, too, but I know that.
So. I like the movie
2008.
I like the movie just because it's cute and it's fun. It's got some good music in it and stuff. But I also have like this really weird attachment to
Kate Denning.
The names Nick and Nora. And it's a weird allusion to like a movie from the 30s called The Thin Man, which I probably have brought up on the
show.
Were
you aspiring before. To be the Thin Man?
No. I'm definitely never going to be a Thin Man.
Yeah.
But the Thin Man, there's
I've tried a couple times. It never works out.
There's a whole series of movies that feature Nick and Nora Charles, who are basically rich, like, socialites that are also detectives. And they're, like, these cool, like, detective stories that kind of embody the roaring 20s. You know, Prohibition is in effect, but they're constantly drinking, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, just really cool movies. I really enjoy the Thin Man movies, and so every time I think about Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, I like to think of it as like this weird prequel where it's like future versions of Nick and Nora Charles meeting each other, like they're reincarnations or something weird like that. It holds a weird space in my mind that I really enjoy.
What if Nick and Nora broke up, had kids with different families, and then in the future those kids got together?
See, exactly.
Also named Nick and Nora.
I like to think of it that way, and it's just a fun movie. It's funny. It's got good music.
It is a good movie, actually.
It's cute. I made my wife watch it yesterday, and she's like, oh, that was really sweet. I was like, yeah, I know. It's great. I like nice things, too, sometimes. Why are you always yelling at me? No. So, yeah, that was pretty much my old man pick. It's just the Thin Man movies and Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. They're both really good.
Michael Cera was hot there for a second, too.
Dude, he's...
Yeah. I don't think he does.
You know what Michael Cera's problem is? He plays Michael Cera in every movie. Like,
I think it's an inability to not play Michael Cera. Yeah, it's probably
just
his problem.
It's just him being him and, like, cute, awkward guy is funny for a while, but, you know... Once you've seen 5 movies with him in it, you're like, oh, yeah, that's what he's going to play, is the awkward dude that can't talk to girls. So, except for he's got to be, like, 35 now. So it's like, dude, grow up. Like,
it's either that or he made, like, 18 wheelbarrows full of money and was just like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Right.
You never really know.
I want to do one more quick little bit, too. I watched Adam Sandler's new stand-up.
Yeah, it is very good.
On Netflix. I was not expecting to really enjoy it, but I was sick and it auto-played, so I was just like, fuck this, I don't want to find the remote. it was really fucking funny. And like, what was great about it is if a joke wasn't landing with you, it was over.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a bunch of stupid jokes, and they're like, joke, 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 2 minute song, joke, 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 3 minute song, like,
yeah.
And it just moved so fast that if you didn't like something, it was done, and it was moving on to the next thing, and there were tons of fucking hilarious little bits in it, and it reminded me so much of when I was in, like, 7th or 8th grade. There was that one kid with, like, overly permissive parents that brought in the Adam Sandler CDs for us to listen to at school and just laughing my ass off at, like...
It was definitely very much like the old Adam Sandler CDs.
It was very much like the old Adam Sandler CDs, and in the best way possible. Yeah. Like, he sings this song. He sings a song about how he only leaves his house with his wallet, his phone, and his keys. And it's like a rap song, and the refrain is wallet, phone, keys. And then he goes to the airport, and he needs his passport. He's all wallet, phone, keys, passport. And it like totally fucks up the song. And then he starts listing off the other things that maybe I should have brought my iPad. Maybe I should have brought my, like, you know, my laptop. And then at the end, he's all, I can't wait to go home and sit on the shitter and look at my phone, my phone, my phone. And it's just a picture of him sitting on the toilet on his phone on the screen behind him.
That sounds awful.
And also,
it is a funny little thing, though.
I also love that Adam Sandler keeps Rob Schneider employed.
Yeah. Rob Schneider would have died long ago.
He sings a song about 69ing a cosmonaut. It's amazing. Like, it's just stupid shit like that. Makes me laugh. And it's like this perfect throwback to like his CDs, which were also amazing. So, Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, The Thin Man, Adam Sandler's comedy from the 90s, and his random like stand-up special on Netflix.
Nice.
I think is like an hour and a half. Like, yeah. It was pretty long.
I don't even know if you classify it as stand-up. It's like its own thing.
It's a weird like...
It's and like it's, a one-man show kind of a deal.
The other thing that's cool about it is it's like filmed at several different locations.
Yeah. Oh, weird.
So it's some of the jokes, like you see half of it filmed in one spot and half of it filmed in another. And like some of the bits are done at like comedy club, like right. A tiny ass comedy club with like 40 people, and some of them are in fucking stadiums full of people. So it's like it's got this incredible range of like audience participation from people clapping and him like to a song, you know, in beat to a song, him saying don't do that, I hate that. Then it cuts to him doing the song in a stadium, and the stadium full of people is doing the same thing. There's no stopping that, you know? So it's just, it was a really, really well thought out way for him to put out just a dopey pile of stupid dad jokes. Like, and it's a lot of fun.
That's who Adam Sandler is. A fucking dopey fucker. Dopey pile. Oh, yeah, that's what he is. That's exactly what he is.
Oh, man. Well, if you enjoyed listening to this dopey pile of dad jokes...
Well, we can announce our the one after. So,
oh, yeah, yeah.
So next time, we're going to be recording our year-end wrap-up.
Yes.
So I'll hit up the internets with the categories that we want everybody to name.
Which
so
it's usually, tentatively are.
I think it's usually the 2018's best trailer, best movie, best TV show, best comic book, and then something from 20 years ago. So
Jesus Christ.
Your favorite thing from 20
years
ago.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So I think those are the like five items.
2008. We were 8 years after Y2K crisis.
No, that's 10 years ago.
Damn it, he's right. Math is hard.
1998.
I was like, wait a minute. Which is the year before my vehicle was made. Ah.
It's not that long ago. You were alive?
I was.
You were alive?
I was alive 20 years ago.
How old were you?
I was 1998, so I'd have been 12.
So we're starting to get to the territory.
No, 11. I was 11.
We're starting to get to the territory where you actually, like, we're enjoying
stuff. I can try.
I was 14. Yeah. I had finger banged a chick by that time.
Wow. And you can listen to that story and more.
at our year-end wrap-up show.
So hopefully we're going to be recording that at John's. Who knows?
We will.
But so that'll He's be in 2 weeks. You. And then 2 weeks from then will be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
No, and then we're mutanting again. We're turtling.
And then after Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, we decided on the break that TOTLB's pick for the next pop culture classic is going to be...
The Matrix.
The Matrix. Yes.
A Keanu Reeves classic.
Why?
I love Keanu. Yeah. He's the best.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves is just my favorite actor.
How crazy is it to think that The Matrix isn't Keanu Reeves' best movie?
That's not even close, I don't think.
I don't know. I would agree with that. Yeah. Like, and The Matrix is a fucking unbelievably good movie, and it's nowhere near his best movie. Real fast, what is it?
Dude, I don't know, but off the top of my head. Well, John Wick is...
Or Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah.
It's one or the other.
Bill and Ted is up
nope,
there.
Nope, you're wrong.
No, what would you think it is?
I have no idea. I don't remember his repertoire.
I gotta look up every movie he's in real quick.
That's the thing. That's Keanu the thing is I don't remember anything that he's really in. I loved The Matrix.
I loved
The Matrix later. I didn't love it when it first came out because I don't remember.
You didn't
it.
Love The Matrix at first?
No, I don't. I was young. I don't remember it.
You gotta remember.
But he was in Constantine, Speed.
Oh, Constantine's a good
one. Oh, fuck. I forgot he was in Speed.
Siberia, Knock Knock. I've never heard of those.
Siberia is really good.
Replicas, that's still coming out, I think. Point Break. Dracula. Devil's Advocate was the one I was thinking of, and I couldn't remember my brain.
That is a really good movie.
But Devil's Advocate was amazing. Dracula, I forgot he was in. 47 Ronin.
It's just nuts to think that The Matrix is insanely good, and I don't think it's his best movie. And, like, there's 10 other movies that could be his best movie.
Replacements was good.
Oh, that was a funny movie.
Yeah.
Neon Demon was good, which is, I don't know.
That was nuts. If it's a movie, I'm thinking it is.
The Replacements. That's a funny movie.
It is a funny movie.
It is a funny. That's funny.
Still trying to go down to A Walk in the Clouds, which I don't know, a lot of people don't like, but I thought it was a good film.
You're wrong.
You're wrong.
The Walk in Clouds game.
I just like that you saw me looking at you as you were saying it, and you're like, I'm going to qualify this, that I love it, and you don't have to. If you want to hear more of that.
So we had a month worth of stuff.
If you want to check out, what am I trying to say?
I don't know.
Keep on the lookout for our year-end wrap-up questions. We would love your.
Did you fix the Amazon link?
I don't think I have yet.
I also want top 10 genre lists from people. This is just me personally, because I want to watch and find new stuff.
Okay.
People out there on the interwebs,
hit us up.
Top 10 horror, sci-fi, whatever. Sci-fi thriller. Love movies.
You know what you should do? Make a blog post
about porn.
It. Share it all over the place.
That's probably my first one, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Anyways.
Porn.
www.totlb.com. You can find basically any way to get a hold of us there.
Yes.
There's been more content because Doyle and I have access to it, and I've actually been able to post. So that's been fun. This week I talked, 3 weeks ago, I talked about the new Valiant mobile app. That's a card game, like a Valiant card game. Looks pretty fun.
Valiant, if you guys don't know, is a highly underrated comic book publisher.
Absolutely true.
They make some amazing stuff.
Shadow Man is awesome.
Bloodshot.
Bloodshot's awesome.
The Divergent stuff.
Exo Manowar is really good. Faith is really good. Like, tons of great comics come out on Valiant.
And body positive female superhero.
I don't know why you're saying it all smart.
Me neither,
like,
but it is.
You're just building up the hate for you.
It's actually done in a way, though, that's not doesn't make me hate it.
Right.
It's because usually when people do stuff like that, it's like you're just so force feeding me this, but it's actually good.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you. You've been force fed a lot of stuff.
No one's ever force fed me anything, sir.
I force feed myself.
Sometimes.
You can find us on Instagram or Twitter at Outside Longbox, on Facebook at facebook.com/TOTLB, on YouTube at tinyurl.
No, Facebook, I think, is facebook.com/thinkingoutsidethelongbox.
Type it in. Type in facebook.com/TOTLB.
I'm looking at it right now. Nope, that's Temple of the Lounging Bear.
Huh, all right.
Ooh, we've been sending people to the wrong place. To the wrong hole.
facebook.com/thinkingoutsidethelongbox.
I think that's the first time I've ever heard you say it, so I hope we haven't been sending people to the wrong place.
We're usually too busy interrupting you.
That's true. Temple of the Lounging Bear sounds awesome, though.
I'm totally going to go like that when we're done. You can find us.
Let's do it all.
You can find us on YouTube, tinyurl.com/TOTLBTube. One thing that Juan has been doing is like kind of flashback episodes.
They're small. They're like 5 minutes, four or 5 minutes.
They're really cool. Looking back at like.
It's hard to go over 100 episodes. It's not hard to be like. That's a nice little picturette of 20 episodes.
Yeah. Exactly. It's nice.
Photo album, as you will.
Well, because I think a lot of people come in and they don't, like you said, I don't want to go necessarily go back. But if I'm like, oh, hey, remember the time we interviewed this guy and you like him, you can go back and listen to that episode.
I like it.
We're going to be doing a...
I like it.
I can't remember
an unboxing.
I can't remember who sent us
just
this.
Just say an unboxing.
All right, an unboxing.
That way we don't have to figure it out right now. So if you're annoyed with Doyle shaming body positive comic books,
please. Hey, I'm a body positive Mexican.
Man, you need some sleep. Anyway,
I wish I was a drunk Mexican though.
If you want to shit on Doyle for shitting in bags, we would love to receive your hate mail. You can send it to outsidethelongbox@gmail.com. And of course, if you're any kind of like pop culture media producer, you make movies, you make TV, you make
get out
music,
of P. Diddy.
You know,
P. Diddy.
Not P. Diddy. I don't want to review him.
Why? He's fucking a pretty genius business guy.
I just don't. I'm not interested.
I couldn't either, to be fully honest. I've been watching clips of The Four, like their show. I just want to bitch slap him through the screen.
But if you like, even if you're like this, like Legion M, like this cool, like production company idea, like,
and it's not little either. Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
It's growing.
We would love
to grow up,
but not in the pants.
Yeah, just fatter. We would love to hear from you. Send us an email. Juan will set up the interview. Doyle or I will talk to you.
You need sleep too?
Yes. But you can do that. Again, email us at outsidethelongbox@gmail.com. We love getting information from you. That is fucking weird when you do that. Of course, we'd love to get your messages on the Michael Kirk Memorial Hotline. May he rest in peace. I hear he left a message.
Oh, a few
did
of
he?
Them. And they're fucking
they
amazing.
Funny? Okay.
That's
they'll,
good,
come, they'll come on episode 100.
I was nice. Curious if he was actually dead.
There was a moment, and then I saw that he posted his Christmas tree was up. I was like, okay, he's alive.
Yeah.
But
Kirk lives. But not really. He's dead because he has a hotline.
May he rest in peace. 970-573-6148. We have an Amazon link. You can find it on our Facebook page. I'm trying to fix it.
I'm gonna. I'll post it so that you can just click on the picture and then it'll take you.
And of course,
it's Christmas. It's Christmassy. So if you're buying anything on Amazon, hopefully you use our link.
Buy it.
And
use
of course, if you want to support our show, you can go to patreon.com/totlb where you can find. Fuck and shut up. This is actually the important part. Patreon.com/TOTLB where you can watch our favorite, least favorite videos, which are a lot of fun to do.
Yes.
A lot of they make me crack up. We'd love to get your support. There's all sorts of different things that you can get from there. And of course, you can go to TOTLB.com/shop and find a little bit of cool stuff that we have for sale that I need to talk to you about.
And we're going to start the Christmas gift that the show is giving to everybody. We're going to have extra of it. So when that comes, we'll post that up
to
you.
So you've just been being a lazy bitch and haven't signed up for Patreon because you're too lazy to clickety-clickety over there. Clickety-clackety your ass over there.
Who knows? You could sign up for Patreon and end up sitting across from us like Doyle all the time.
Yeah.
That's what we should do, pay to play. You sign up for Patreon and you're a new host. You got to pay as much as he does. Or twice as much.
You could get some really terrible hosts.
I know. The comedian he signs up.
I know. We've already got him.
Hey, I have the most positive reviews of anyone on the show.
Oh, speaking of our Patreon supporters, I absolutely need to thank each and every single one of you. Chad, Ryan, Derek, Doyle, Devin, Taylor, Jason, Steve, Christine, Molly, and Michael. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Your support means the world to us. It allows us to, this Christmas, upgrade. We're going to be getting a bigger soundboard in theory.
Hopefully.
Yeah. In theory. Said in theory.
Hopefully.
But it should give us more mics so that makes the Hall of Justice.
Maybe.
Shut the fuck up. So the Hall of Justice recordings sound a little less like hot garbage.
I don't think they sound like
I'm
garbage
just being
at all.
An asshole.
I think they sound fine.
I
think that's about it. This has been episode 101 of Thinking Outside. Oh, sorry, my bad. This has been episode season 2, episode 1. Fuck,
why are you saying it all weird? 101 is fine.
Well, you told me it's season 2, so I gotta call it
episode. All I said was it is season 2, and then you said, oh, I'll call it season 2, episode 1. You said that, not me.
Yeah, but that's how seasons work.
I know.
Join us after the show as we butcher 101 Dalmatians to make a big-ass jacket.
That still wouldn't fit Doyle.
I don't know. I don't really know how many puppies that is.
A lot of fucking Dalmatians, yeah. Man.
I'm just kidding, Doyle. Right. I'm just kidding.
I didn't wake up knowing I wasn't fat. I mean, it's not like you're side.
What?
It's not like you're curveballing me with new information.
Oh, man. This has been episode 101 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
I'm Doyle.
Thank you very much for listening to Doyle's Fat Ass.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.